Continue listening. Right now in our AM station, we present Penn Basketball on 950 ESPN.
Enter Jerome Allen, injecting the squad with energy and trying to reestablish the red and blue brand of basketball.
He rolls and penetrates, pumps to the hole, the finger roll falls for Zach Rosen. Here's a turnover, Bell court to the right, Bell to finish for Rob Belfour.
Darren Smith driving far right, spins away in front, Barber for three, buries it from beyond. Does Darren Smith,
it's picked off, Eggleston to the rim, rocks it for a game tying jam.
University of Pennsylvania men's basketball is on the air. 2010-2011 Penn men's basketball on the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Market is presented by Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper and some fun. Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn. Look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. PICO, we put our energy into you. Now courtside with the call, former Penn Center, three-time Quaker letter winner, Vince Curran, and the play-by-play voice of Penn men's basketball, Brian Seltzer.
Tonight, it really starts to count for the Penn Quakers. After a 6-8 non-conference showing, the Red and Blues set sights on contending for what could be a record 26th Ivy League title. Of course, 14-game push for an NCAA championship berth begins this evening, a battle with an early frontrunner in the Yale Bulldogs. With that, from the Palestra, capacity 8,722 on the snowy campus of the University of Pennsylvania in University City, this is Penn men's basketball. Along with our studio coordinator, Betsy Deming, my name is Brian Seltzer. My partner is the Vin Man, Vince Kern. Good evening, Vincent.
Good evening, Brian.
Vince, it is game number 15 of the regular season for the Red and Blue tonight. Game number one in the Ancient Eight. The Quakers 6-8 overall. The Yale Bulldogs, led by 12th-year head coach James Jones, at 9-7 overall this season. 2-0 tied for first with Harvard and Columbia coming into tonight in the Ivy League standings. Vin Man, the Quakes forecasted to finish fourth in the Ivy League preseason media poll. How do you think they're going to fare?
Well, I think they're playing a lot better than most of those voters would have expected. I think Jerome Allen and staff have them really kind of gelling as a group. I think the play of Tyler Bernardini is certainly a pleasant surprise. I'm looking at, you know, there are four teams that can win the league. Princeton, Harvard, Yale, and Penn. I don't think the other four have a chance. I also think that it's not going to be one of those years where a team runs out and goes 14-0 or 13-1. I think that each team, you know, is going to have a misstep or two. The teams do the best job of taking care of their home court and then winning the games they're supposed to win on the road. They're going to be in there fighting in that last weekend.
The Penn Quakers delivered a very needed and uplifting Big 5 win on Saturday night versus St. Joseph's, a 12-point triumph to hold a losing streak of four straight games to come into tonight, booing them for the Ivy League season that awaits. The Yale Bulldogs, Vin Man, have won four in a row. The last two wins, a season sweep of Ivy League travel partner Brown. Yale, they've been playing very good defense, number one in the Ivy League in field goal percentage defense.
Yale, traditionally a team that plays a little bit better at home for whatever reason. I guess the reason is you're sitting down in that pit and all of that noise kind of flows down on top of you. But I always said that, you know, I really like the way James Jones' team play. They're tough, they play hard, they get your face, they got a little bit of attitude to them. So it's a team that has always played Penn tough, and again, more so at Yale than down here in the Palestra, but it's a team that's probably the best low post scorer or postman period that we're going to face in the league in Greg Mangano, and I think he's a tough guard. He's going to be
a real challenge, but if Penn can shut him down tonight, or not even shut him down, limit him somewhat, then they're going to win the ballgame.
The Penn Quakers have one of their own, a former coach, a Big Five Hall of Famer, that led this program to the Final Four in 1979 in the house. That, of course, is Bob Weinauer in the building for tonight's game and tomorrow. He has served as a mentor of sorts to Jerome Allen, the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball, currently at Penn. Who the Big Man had a chance to chat with prior to tonight's pitch about an hour ago. That interview coming next from the Palestra tonight in about 10 minutes. It's time, the Ivy League opener for the Penn Quakers in 2011. The Quakers at 6-8, taking on 9-7, 2-0, yeah. From Elgin Sports, you'll see the Penn men's basketball on 950 ESPN. Here it is, the Penn Sports Network.
Quakers fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
Quakers have already met their victory total from all of last year when the squad went 6-22. Penn finished the 2010 Ivy League season 5-9, tied 4-6. Tonight, battling the Bulldogs of Yale, who have beaten Penn 2 out of the last 3 meetings. The Penn Quakers, led by the head coach Jerome Allen, a multi-time Ivy League Player of the Year in his red and blue uniform, and earlier this evening, inside the Quakers' locker room, his former teammate, Tim Mann, Vince Stern, had a chance to catch up with Jerome heading into tonight's 8-8 opener against the Yale Bulldogs.
Vince Kern here with Coach Jerome Allen. Coach, coming off the first Big Five win of the year against St. Joseph's, a game where you really kind of just fought through some stuff, made some big plays at the end. How was the feeling getting a Big Five win, especially for Jack Eggleston and Connor Charlie?
Always so happy for those guys. You know, this day and this, you know, senior year, and really want to have some type of success going out the door as far as their Big Five experience. And really, no one cares about the previous 15. The fact that they won that last one. So, from that standpoint, it was great for those guys, and I was extremely happy.
I thought your message to the team before the game was good, in that you kind of said, "Look, I expect to win Big Five games. Expectations for me are we beat big BCS schools, we win Big Five games. This is not a big deal. This is just, we're making this normal. That's what normal should be."
Yeah, we just really, and trying to build a program, we're trying to just establish some norms in the sense that, if you prepare hard and you get 100% day in and day out, then you should expect to win. And as long as you cover all the details, why not? You got to play the game. We play the game the right way, and we play it with a purpose. So, for us, our mentality, not necessarily has to change, but it just has to be one that we're committed to winning.
Ending the 4-game losing streak and talking about preparing hard and preparing properly, how was the energy in practice after getting that Big Five win heading into the first Ivy weekend?
Well, we try to tell the guys that it's a new season. It's a new season, and use the momentum from last Saturday's game to spring us in, to spring us forward into the Ivy season. But at the end of the day, we've worked hard, all year long to prepare for this moment, and that is our primary goal is to be an Ivy champ.
Vince Kern here with Jerome Allen. Coach, you have Bulldogs tonight coming in. Take a look at your squad for a second, though. Jack Eggleston, I think in the last game against St. Joe's, probably did more to win that game than he probably will get credit for. I thought his 15 rebounds were just so important to end defensive possessions, and it seems like he has really taken that role this year. He may not be scoring as much as last year, but I think he's actually helping you win more.
his overall play has boosted us up, you know, as a team in terms of, you know, just being efficient and really what the team needs. And, you know, last year he was counted on to score, you know, a bunch for us, both, you know, he and Zach. But, you know, this year, you know, his role has slightly changed. And there's going to be times where we're going to need him to score. But, you know, he has to be consistent on the defensive end and competing on the defensive boards. And he's done a tremendous job of that thus far.
Speaking about a guy that has taken away a little bit of the scoring load from Jack Eggleston, Tyler Bernardini, 27 points against St. Joe's the other night, and it seemed like he hit some shots at big times. Out of the timeout, he designed the play, he gets the three, then he bangs down another three right after it. You're tied relatively late in the game. Just big shots. He seems to be getting his sea legs underneath him. How are you feeling about his play?
I'm happy. For him, I'm happy for the team, because he's playing, you know, more of a complete game. I mean, he's trying to, you know, get out and get deflections defensively and help out on the defensive boards and help on penetrations and just him, you know, making shots is like, you know, it's icing on the cake. So really, you know, from a general standpoint, I feel like that he's worked hard all year long, and I'm happy to see that the ball finally started to go into basketball.
Vince Kerr again with Coach Jerome Allen. Coach, Yale Bulldogs tonight probably facing the best pivot player in the Ivy League right now, at least the best opposing pivot player in Greg Mangano. Give a little insight into his game and some keys to stopping him and getting the victory tonight.
Well, a lot of this stuff, you know, revolves around him, and he's a tough guard. You know, he has size, he has athleticism, he has touch. So, you know, for us, you know, we have our work cut out for us, but, you know, five guys always guard the basketball, and I think our ball pressure and our ability to make them extend their offense back to half court will limit the opportunities that, you know, that he gets. And he's been having a tremendous season thus far. He's been Ivy Player of the Week past, you know, 3 weeks in a row, and it should be fun to see our guys compete, see our guys really just, you know, lock in and try to get stops defensively.
One of Jerome Allen's key competitors this year, Jack Eggleston, being recognized at center court by head coach Jerome Allen for becoming the 35th member of the Penn men's basketball program to score 1,000 points in a career. That achievement was accomplished back on
7 or 8 more years. Yeah. Might have made it.
Back on December 22nd in Penn's 10-point victory at Delaware. Tip-off for the Penn Quakers in their Ivy League opener against already 2-0 Yale coming next, along with the starting lineups for tonight's game, game number 15 of the year for the Red and Blue. On the way from Nelligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball, and 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
950 ESPN,
Philadelphia.
Larry went to the AT&T store to shatter decades of Valentine's Day tradition. In his hand was a high-tech new smartphone, a Valentine's gift for his girlfriend Liz. This year, Larry's pledge of everlasting love would not come in the form of an unfunny greeting card or a cliche like a dozen roses. No. This year, Larry would show Liz that real love was a phone for texting love notes, emailing photos to each other, and going online to book a romantic getaway. Larry would give Liz this awesome new AT&T phone that he got for a great price. But first, Larry would pick up a dozen roses, because Larry's not crazy.
Get a great deal on the perfect Valentine's gift at AT&T. We think possible.
Come in now and get the Motorola Bravo with access to over 100,000 apps from Android Market. Plus, it has a 3.0 megapixel camera with digital zoom, all for just $49.99. AT&T. We think possible.
Two-year wireless service agreement with minimum $15 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic, other charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
We Palestra, the site tonight for the Penn Quakers 2011 Ivy League opener. Penn at 6-8 overall through 14 non-conference games. The Yale Bulldogs at 9-7, one of four teams in the Ivy League as of tonight, with a winning record 2-0, tied for first in the conference standings, along with the Harvard Crimson and the Columbia Lions. James Jones, the most tenured head coach in the Ancient Eight, is at the helm of the Yale Bulldogs for his 12th campaign. He's 151 and 175 overall, but most importantly, 85 and 71 in the Ivy League, one Ivy League title, and then that co-championship back in 2002 when Penn, Yale,
I championship.
I guess that's correct.
There were three teams.
Yes. Tri champions.
Penn ended up being the representative in the tournament.
Always like when it plays out that way.
Yes, indeed.
The starting five for the Yale Bulldogs tonight, once again led by head coach James Jones. In the backcourt at the point, it'll be Porter Braswell. 6 feet, 1 inch tall, 190.
Okay. Porter Braswell.
Very Ivy League Yale type name.
Plays in an ascot, I believe.
He's a senior point guard from Scotts Plains, New Jersey, out of the Lawrenceville School. The shooting guard is Austin Morgan.
Never trust a guy with two first names.
Sure. Oh, so a great early start tonight, Big Man. 5 feet, 11 inches tall, 185 pounds. A sophomore from Reno, Nevada, out of Reno High School.
The biggest little city in the world.
Indeed. Reggie Wilhite, 6 feet, 4 inches tall, 194 pounds. A junior swingman from Elk Grove, California. He averages 9.7 points and 4.2 rebounds per game. The reigning Ivy League Rookie of the Week is Jeremiah Kreisberg. He gets 6 feet, 9 inches tall, 235 pounds, a rookie out of Berkeley, California.
And I'm glad I left that pronunciation to you, so
thank you, good man. The head Roy School, he averages 6.5 points and 4.3 boards per outing. And the starting center for the Yale Bulldogs, the current Ivy League Player of the Week, it is Greg Mangano. 6'10", a load of 240 pounds, a junior out of Orange, Connecticut, about 15 miles south of Yale's campus in New Haven. Greg coming off four consecutive double-double performances. He averages double-double for the season, 14.8 points and 10.3 rebounds per game. The Penn Quakers starting five, consisting of Miles Cartwright at the point, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, 170 pounds, a rookie out of California, 11.6 points and 1.8 rebound per game. The shooting guard, Zach Rosen, 6 feet, 1 inch tall, 175 pounds, a junior from Colonia, New Jersey, out of St. Benedict's Prep, 15.4 points, third best in the Ivy League in terms of per game average, and 3.6 rebounds per game. The swingman, Tyler Bernardini, coming off of a personal best 27-point performance on Saturday versus St. Joseph. 6'6", 205 pounds, a senior out of Carlsbad, California. He has skyrocketed into the top 20 in points per game in the Ivy League, averaging 11.4 points per game, 2.9 rebounds. In the front court for the Quakers, Jack Eggleston, 6'8", 215 pounds. The senior out of Nobleville, Indiana, is the power forward. Starting center is Connor Turley, 6 feet, 7 inches tall, 220 pounds. A senior out of La Cunada, California.
La Cunada.
The Penn Quakers in man tonight. First
yes,
Friday
right.
In the Ivy League for the Red and Blue. Occupying the bench along the near sideline, right half of the court as we see it. In their traditional home white uniforms, which they have not worn since December the 8th in their last true official home game versus the Villanova Wildcats. Penn in black, navy blue across the front. Blue numbers, navy blue on the front and the back, all of that quartered in red. The Yaleys in their road navy blue base uniforms, Yale in black white across the front. White numbers on the front and the back. The officiating trio for tonight, Jeff Clark, John Gaffney, and Bruce Rockwell.
Delaware County's finest, John Gaffney.
That's right.
No longer a resident, now a resident of the city of Boston, but Gaff grew up around the Fletcher.
Greg Mangano on the left side of the Penn split tee center court. Eggleston on the right side. There's the toss by Jeff Clark and the tip. Aggressively taken by Connor Tully, red and blue from right to left as we see it in the front court.
And Yale opens up in their typical man-to-man.
Rosen, top of the arc. As at the near left high post, Eggleston, Cartwright gives away the exchange to Austin Morgan. Making his way to the bucket, swatted and denied in the lane by Connor Turley.
Can't have the unforced errors on the dribble handoff. Talking to James Jones before the game, and he said, how many different ways can Penn get to a ball screen or a dribble handoff? He's amazed at how many sets Jerome is able to run. That time just a little loose with the exchange.
Porter, Braswell, foul line, shooting Mangano, far left high post. Yale from left to right, the step back, unable to stick it. Mangano with the rebound, Miles Cartwright for the Quakers.
You got to pick your poison with Mangano after Connor Charlie backing off him a little bit and trying to have him make a 15-footer as opposed to backing you down and getting something going in the low block is preferable.
Quakers, 21 seconds on the shot clock, near left wing, under the arc, Rosen, blanketed there by Braswell, peeling baseline to the 10, hand off Charlie, a hard move for two in the lane.
Great move by Zach Rosen, very unselfish as he gets to the baseline. Mangano comes to help, and Connor Turley does what he's told. Dive the lane, and he finishes strong with the right hand.
Connor Turley averaging 6.1 points per game this season. Far left sideline for three. Morgan, no good. Offensive rebound for Kreisberg. Gives off to Morgan. The shot clock resets for Yale.
Can't give up multiple opportunities. It's very obvious, but against a team like Yale, little size to them, not a team that shoots it particularly well. You want to get one and done, like against St. Joe's last weekend.
Braswell near right under the arc, knocks down a long two-pointer, even at two, a minute 40 seconds gone by in the first.
Braswell just kept the dribble alive right there, continues to kind of run off, and then sticks the jumper right in Tyler Bernardini's grill.
Cartwright, top of the arc, far right wing, heels against the sideline, Bernardini in the baseline, kick out Eggleston, thinking three, dribble handoff, Bernardini, his three-pointer is blocked by Wilhite in the lane, down the finish, as Tyler Bernardini will cover him off the slot, goes towards the hoop, he gets the hack and the bucket as well as he heads to the free throw line.
They're going to get the foul on Reggie Wilhite. So block that first jumper, Tyler Bernadine's about with his armpit. Tyler a little slow getting that one off as it rejected. Fortunately for him, it comes right back into his hands, and he drives it hard to the rim and gets the M1, makes the free throw, Penn 5-2 lead. Nice play by Bernardini.
10 of the first 2 minutes of this game, man. Tyler Bernardini, 104 points over his last five games, and now 2 minutes, 10 seconds of this one. Wilhite, far left corner, rises up, unable to hit a three with the rebound curling.
Twice Miles Cartwright got lost on defense, twice ending up in open three-point opportunities for Yale.
5-2, pinned by 3, 17:34 to go in the opening half at the Palestra. Rosen, left-hand dribble, switches to his right, thigh high, near left wing. Left side lane, Eggleston facing Kreisberg. Eggleston, right-hand dribble, penetrates the lane, lays in two with the two.
It's a little easier when Mangano comes out of there. When Jack Eggleston gets the ball in the low block, Connor Turley flashes to the high post, brings Mangano with him, and Eggleston able to face up and take Kreisberg to the 10.
Quakers in, man, finding some opportunities early on inside. Defensively, Turley on Mangano, a pair of number 44s on the floor. Wilhite to the near right high post, kick out near right of the wing to Morgan. On the shot clock, Morgan pivoting with the left foot, near right feet on the wing, Wilhite. Pushed out to the perimeter, Mangano, three to shoot at the foul line, Kreisberg. Feeding Morgan, and the shot clock expires as the pass came late to Morgan. Far left on the wing, good lockdown defense been manned by Penn.
Sounds like the red and blue crew is trying to bait them into the 35-second violation with a fake countdown. Yale realized that and then kind of forgot about the real countdown. Nobody even looked at the basket. And Penn gets the 35-second violation.
Quakers back on offense, averaging 65.1 points per game. That's second from the bottom of the Ivy League. Yale, the leading field goal shooting defense. Connor Turley at the foul line throws a pass away under the bucket, intended for Jack Eggleston. It remains 7-2, Penn by 5, 16:27 to go in the first half.
I actually think it was a decent look by Connor Turley. Jack Eggleston, not a great angle, but it looked like Kreisberg held him. No call, ball goes out of bounds.
Wilhite near right wing. Good pickup by Turley on the defense, but he's called for a blocking foul as Wilhite lost the handle on the basketball.
I missed it. I was looking away, Salty.
I might have missed it, too, and I was actually...
You were hoping that I saw it?
No, I was...
You're requesting the call by my pal John Gaffney.
Yeah. Press 35 for the Bulldogs. 10 has rattled off the last 5 points. Braswell feeding top of the arc, Mangano, far left on the wing to Austin Morgan. Back up top to Braswell. Kreisberg at the foul line, right high post, pitching on a low block, Mangano muffling in for two. First 2 points of the night, 7-4 Quakers lead down to 3.
Decent big-to-big passing right there. I thought Connor Sterling actually had played pretty good defense fronting Mangano, and when he had to step up to help Kreisberg on the drive, or help Alan Kreisberg's drive, Kreisberg just drops it over the top and Mangano gets the 2.
The Elfin man, not too bad in road games this year, 4-4. Eggleston striding to the rack, short on the finger roll with the left hand with the board, the Bulldogs. Braswell back the other way, right hand, waistline dribble, swung near right on the wing to Morgan. Top yard, Braswell pushing inside to the pin, no good on the runner, rebound collected by Turley. And pushing tempo in transition back the other way. Rosen, near left high post, knocks down a 15-footer. The Quakers back up by 5, 9-4, 15-07 to go in the first.
That gets created. It was a 3-on-3 break. Jack Rosen was about to pull it out, but all of a sudden, Jack Eggleston busts it down the lane and ties up Braswell just for a split second, and Rosen gets the open 2.
Morgan, far left corner, hoists for 3, unable to hit, hauling in the rebound, Rosen. Red and blue, right to left, now in the front court, Rosen weaving under the bucket, far right, near left, foul line toss to Turley. Turley in the lane with the left hand, high off the glass, too much. With the rebound, Kreisberg stripped by Cartwright in the key, high off the glass, no. With the rebound, Braswell.
I think that's a pretty good no call by the officials. Miles Cartwright just trying to draw the foul.
Wilhite called for the offensive charge along the far left baseline. Ball going back to 10 after this break. 14:25 to go in the opening half. The opening game of the 2011 Live League season for the Penn Quakers. They're in front of the Yale Bulldogs, 9-4. Time out on the floor, that is for the Nelligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball, and 9:50 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
First they called you Mikey. Then you got a little older and they called you Michael. After that, you were just Mike. Except for a brief period in college when they called you MC Mikey.
Yeah, boy.
Well, now they call you Dad, which may explain a few of those gray hairs.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we know how life can change. That's why we have plans that are flexible and affordable, with choices you can customize, so you pay for what you need and not for what you don't. In fact, we have plans as low as $75 a month. To learn more, go to plansthatfit.com. There you'll find all the tools you need to choose a plan that fits you and your budget. You'll even find handy tools like our online personal health record and a treatment cost estimator. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Plans underwritten by QCC Insurance Company and Keystone Health Plan, subsidiaries of Independence Blue Cross, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
I can't hear it, Chelsea. What is it?
That's a little talking head, good man.
Talking head? That wasn't on my request list. These are the songs I sing to my daughter.
There's a whole thing that...
They can hear anything in there, right?
7 more breaks in game.
Love that daughter. You put a video on YouTube, sing a little song, dance with her. You know, it just kind of makes everything okay. It is quite a sight. She starts rocking out with those little fat legs, jazz, jumping up and down. I love it.
Alexandra Grace.
She dances kind of like you do, Selfie. A little epileptic fit, actually.
I can see that. The Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics at 10. Thanks to following partners for their continued support of our varsity athletics programs. Abner's Cheesesteaks at 38th and Chestnut Street. Chili's home of Fajita Rita Monday, peppering some fun.
Okay. Fajita Rita, is that fajitas and margaritas?
One would think of that. Comcast Sports Center with the Philly College Hoop Center, Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, Kindred Healthcare, and Pico. Pico now more than ever putting their energy into you. Energy inside the flesh for tonight. A substitution with Fran Doherty coming out on the court, relieving Connor Turley. 10 with the ball, home white. Right to left as we see a courtside in front by 5, 9-4 with 14:14 to go in the first. Rosen in the lane, shooting far right, Cartwright connects for the Quakers' first 3-point field goal of the game. 12-4, Quakers by 8.
Really a nicely designed play. A couple ball screens. Fran Doherty set a good one for Rosen in the corner, who comes across. Had Doherty diving, but also had Cartwright at the opposite elbow, and no hesitation from the freshman Cartwright, who knocks down the 3.
Prior to tonight, Cartwright 0-6 his previous 2 games from the outside. So
that's in the past, man.
It is, man. Top of the arc, a first sub for Yale, Sam Martin. exchanging with Rhett Anderson, also into the game. Back to Martin, top of the arc, 4-2. Near-rattling Martin, came top of the arc, trips, falls, pass knocked out of bounds just before the time clock is about to expire, but the officiating crew, led by Jeff Clark, indicating that, yes, the shot clock.
James Jones wants a foul out there on Fran Doherty, and he probably has a case. But Penn will get the ball. Yeah, really struggling early offensively in this game.
2-for-8 from the floor. Converse with the Quakers, Vince. 5
you
for
have
nine.
That set,
don't you? Yeah. Top yard, Trinity, near west baseline. Eggleston kick out. Far right, Rosen rises up. Drains it from deep. The Quakers, second straight three-pointer. Forcing Yale head coach James Jones to take a timeout. The red and blue, an early 11-point lead, 15-4, 13-9. Vince to go in the first.
Great pass by Jack Eggleston. Tyler Bernardini goes up looking like he's going to shoot. Fires it to Eggleston, who makes a nice catch, and in one motion, rather than going up, risking drawing the charge in deep, whips it out to Zach Rosen, who calmly, coolly, and collectively knocks down the three ball penalty.
Man,
I kind of stressed that a little bit because I saw you were drinking your water.
I appreciate it.
I did my best.
You are a savvy season veteran.
Yes, indeed.
If we choose to recall the Quakers' first game versus the Yale Bulldogs last year, which was not a pretty one in favor of the Eli's. The Bulldogs came out early, aggressive against Penn, and at that point you were kind of wondering how did the non-conference and how would the non-conference last year translate to in-league play. It wasn't a very good start for Penn. But tonight, good beginning to the first Ivy League game of the season, 15-14 in front of Yale, who now has the ball. Braswell near right at the point, left hand dribble to far left wing. Nothing going on of the arc near right. Austin Morgan slithering inside of the right hand, stuffed initially by Doherty, but he will be flagged for the foul.
That looks like a clean even decent job getting over there. And Yale, which has been scoreless since the 16-minute mark, so a 3-minute and 15-second drought, going to get a chance to end that drought from the free throw line.
Austin Morgan, the sophomore right-handed shooting guard, gets his first one to go, shooting at 75% from the free throw line this season, 15-5 the score. Greg Mangano heading out of the game, and Jeremiah Kreisberg coming back in. The second one for Morgan is a swish, 15-16, the Quakers lead. Now at 9 with 12:42 to go in the opening half.
I expect a little more physical play out of Mangano early. I mean,
yeah.
He's been, seems like he's had a little bit of allergy to the paint. He's been out facing up and hasn't really been a force defensively.
Rosen draws a double team near left low post. Foul line to Doherty. Down low delivering to Eggleston. High-low action. The Quakers reestablished that 11-point lead.
Great high-low action is right, Chelsea. And it's one of the things that Jerome Allen and I talked about a little bit was trying to get the big action working.
Pass nearly interceptable on the far left baseline by Eggleston deflecting near right. And a foul is drawn by Sam Horn along the near right baseline, whistled by Jeff Clark.
Wow.
And against Zach Rosen, that's the 13th foul against the Quakers in the first half.
Jeff, I would not be proud of that one, my man.
Martin tossing out to the near right wing where Anderson receives. Morgan flinging right low post. It is Kreisberg freeing himself from Belcourt. Misfires on the flick attempt. Rebound for the Quakers and Fran Doherty. Rosen near left baseline trying to great handoff. Doherty an easy two. Near left low post.
Zach Rosen, how did he see that right there? All of a sudden gets all the way to the baseline again. Looks like he's out of options and throws back from whence he came. A hook pass over his shoulder, and just a great finish by Fran Doherty.
All Quakers, 19-6. Far left, Martin misfires the three, clawing the carom. Miles Cartwright, who settles down the tempo a little bit for the Penn Quakers with 11:22. You know, in the opening half, throws the hole near left, hits it, kick out, far right corner, Belcourt, the foul line, left hand dribble, switches right, top of the arc, gives to Eggleston, near left on the wing, Cartwright down low, Jack Eggleston misfiring off the back of the box.
Still get a good look right there. Jack Eggleston just gets caught a little flat and a little in between. not able to knock down the short one.
Still 19-6 Quakers. Doherty rejecting Michael Grace. Loose ball retrieved by Doherty. Outlet up floor near left Cartwright. Crossover in the key. Kick out far right Belcour. No good for three off the front of the iron.
Pretty good look, though, in transition. Miles Cartwright gets into the middle of the lane spots. Rob Belcour wide open in the corner and gets it off to him. Belcour just a little flat on the shot.
19-6 in men. Quakers all over the Bulldogs. 10:31 to go in the first. Cartwright does a split top of the arc trying to steal a pass away from Morgan. Into the near right corner, Martin still unable to get that three to go. Another rebound gobbled up by the 10 Quakers.
Whoa. And just moving along. And Miles Cartwright, you said that a split right there. I'm not going to be walking with it for a week after watching that.
It was like a kick save type motion.
Youth. What a great there, youth, as some of the kids would like to say.
Vince, the Quakers have just been totally dictating on both ends with the ball from right to left in the front court. 9 on the shot clock. Rosen backs it out, but he pretends split the center court. Rosen draws a foul with 4 on the shot clock. Sam Martin perturbed by the call, giving a little derisive verbiage in the direction of...
I was watching the action.
Yes, Martin.
Did he give it a little
something? Oh, yeah.
Use some choice words?
Yeah, not for
a family show.
By the FCC.
If we were on our other station, would that be words that we would hear on Kids Corner?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely right. 9:52 to go in the opening half. Time out of the fourth. The score. The Quakers controlling against the Yale Bulldogs, 19-6. From Elegant Sports, it's Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliate. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Hey, I'm the old fridge that used to live in your kitchen. You upgraded and I got relegated to the basement. Totally insulting, by the way. My revenge? I'm wasting about $150 a year. So there.
Get rid of your old refrigerator. With Pico Smart Appliance Recycling, we'll pick it up and give you $35. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For eligibility and savings details, visit pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
There we go. Nod to the man. In terms of musical selection from our studio coordinator extraordinaire, Betsy Dennis.
You know what they say, Selty?
I don't know.
Justin Timberlake may be bringing Sexy back.
Yeah.
But Sexy never left me.
Speaking of JT, and I would certainly expect you to be up on this. He's been a while now without a new release, right?
I got to believe he's saying he's going, you know, the pure acting route.
Really?
You know, I don't know. It just can't happen. That last show he did was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. The Future
I'll
Sex Love Tour.
For
it was unbelievable.
Maybe I'll catch him.
Unbelievable. Not only did I go to the show, I actually have a video, a Blu-ray of the show.
Really?
Not the one I went to, the one from Madison Square Garden. Phenomenal.
Excellent.
Phenomenal. Yale, of course, is not phenomenal right now. Missed their last 6 field goals. Haven't scored from the floor since the 16-minute mark, so save those 2 free throws. And 10, getting it done in the paint, a 10-2 advantage.
9:52 to go in the first. 19-16 Quakers with a 13-point lead in the ball. Red and blue in the front court. Left side of the floor as we see it. Cam Gunter spinning along the near left low post. Shut off there by Mangano. Nice cutting feed to Eggleston. It rattles around the rim and through.
That's the second or third time Jack Eggleston has created an opportunity just by diving hard down the lane. He gets Rosen a bucket in transition. He created one other play, and that time he gets one for himself.
A very long, exasperated look on the face of Yale head coach James Jones. Understandable. Austin Morgan, far left, unable to hit a three. Yale now,
they can't throw
the outside.
They're getting, you know, some decent looks, not a ton, but some decent looks.
Gunter.
The hard ones and the easy ones.
Bernardini fouled in the process of shooting outside the arc. near left. And what do you know? Sam Martin can't believe he was called for a foul again.
Some guys are just like that, right?
Yeah.
Some guys never commit a foul. Some guys always give the what?
Oh, no, what?
Watch the replay here. Oh, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one. He didn't get him hard. He may have gotten him, but he didn't get him hard. Bernardini, the first of three falls. He now has 4 points on the night. The Yale Bulldogs 0-6 in the outside.
Yeah, I used to joke with a little
13.
Bit about never committing foul. Our man Cam Lewis.
That's right. He didn't even second.
He never committed a foul. So I begged him just once. You know, when you get called for the foul, put your hand up and walk away. He obliged. He was nice enough to oblige. Look, Cam was class of what?
2009,
okay. I want to say.
Bernardini perfect from the free throw line, shooting it now 78.5% from the strike this season. 24-6, a big 18-point ball for the Quakers. Rob Belcour intercepts the pass near right, flicks it over the guts of the Quakers, down the floor. Far right, Bernardini for three, off the iron, no good. Mangano lifting up for the rebound.
Pretty good look, though, and Miles Cartwright really knows how to run the break. Draws a couple defenders, gets Bernardini an even more open look.
Ryan Cash, near right baseline, kick out feed, top of the arc to Braswell. Braswell has Mangano, far left baseline, 16 to shoot the fader, getting the foul call, Mangano, no finish on the jump shot, but Greg Mangano will go to the line.
They're going
to
get Cam, there we go. It is Cam, but Cam Gunner. A little touch foul on the elbow of Mangano. Looked like they were thinking about doubling Mangano because he really is Yale's only threat at this point.
Mangano, 6'10", 240, the right-handed shooting junior, drains his first, quieting the red and blue crew student section towards which he fires, and a very nice turnout tonight.
Indeed it is, Celtic, and I like this move by Jerome Allen, trying to get his bench involved in this game as Mangano bangs down the second. It's going to be tough for Eggleston and Rosen, Cartwright, Bernardini to play 38, 39 minutes a night on these back-to-backers. So important that the Penn bench is able to come in and be productive.
Oh, gap.
Waiting
the play. Jack Eggleston whistled for the offensive foul. Hook.
They didn't call him with the hook. They called him with the bootay. Backing into him.
8:21.
Well, Jack has, you know, a booty big enough to commit that foul.
8:21 to go in the first. 24-8. All Quakers at the Palestra Ivy League opener. Top of the arc, Salafia. Salafia, freshman out of Cromwell, Connecticut, with just 12 total points this season, has Mangano near right baseline, turning left to right, goes off the glass, too much behind it, with the rebound, red and blue. Gunter, Belcour, Cartwright, Eggleston, Bernardini, who has the ball on the floor, and Tyler takes the walk.
Back-to-back turnover by the Quakers.
Yeah.
And this 8-minute media timeout coming in a very good time. Tyler Bernardini just dragging the foot, still making an aggressive play and an aggressive run at it.
Fourth turnover yielded by the 10 Quakers tonight. 7:51. We're on the opening half. Time out of the floor and a score. Penn beating up on the Bulldogs from Yale, 24-8. Now against Sports, Penn Rams basketball, 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's one place for great basketball. That's with the Quakers. And there's one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products, available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or anytime, choose premium quality Black Bear deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy department and let us create fabulous Black Bear deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers. Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
Well, lay on me, believe on the ground. Now leave on the morning trouble. Man,
stay in the back, 6 foot four.
Sing it, Dusty.
All the dance fans, ladies, call him C-Shop Love, and all the men just call him stuff.
You're a perfect pitch, man.
By the way, I'm not a little pitchy dog like Randy.
That's right on.
So I just got a text from my wife of my little daughter jumping up and down, and this is one of our songs. So she was in a bad mood. I put this on the YouTube. I belted out with her, and she jumps up and down.
Good
living, Chelsea.
I know
nobody cares about it, but, you know, look, it's still new to me.
Facilitating fatherhood.
Here we go.
That's what we try to do.
Yes.
At the Palestra tonight, where there was still some more snow coming down outside before tonight's tip-off, 24-8, the Penn Quakers, a commanding early 16-point lead.
Commanding, but not insurmountable. It's important that Penn doesn't get too full of themselves. Had a couple games this year with some early fool's gold, and Penn struggles later, so it's good that they're still defending very well right now.
Raswell, far left wing, shot clock at 20 for the Bulldogs. Road navy blue uniforms, yellow and white across the front. From left to right in the front court. Tilapia, near right baseline, igniting to the rack, and the hard runner goes for Tilapia.
Yale, two for their last 14 before that one right there, and that was probably the toughest of the bunch. Tilapia just takes it hard to the baseline and makes a tough runner.
That's his third field goal of the season.
Third field goal of the night for Yale. Rosen, left hand dribble away, and kick out Belcourt in the air. Left corner, run to the 10 with the take.
The ball is knocked away out of bounds by Mangano, stopping the shot clock at 19 seconds for the Quakers.
Somebody must have told Rob Belcourt in the film session that you, my friend, are a high riser.
He put that one in there like he was planning on a little cuff dunk action. Quakers by 14, 24-10 Yale with the last 4 points. Belcourt inbounding Turley near left baseline. Belcourt, Turley, Gunter, Bernardini, and Rosen, 10's five-man personnel. Rosen, letting the shot clock trickle down to 7 seconds. Rosen, far right high post, a step back, and he sticks it from 16 feet away. Rosen with 7 of 10's now, 26.
Good high ball screen by Cam Gunter that time, and Rosen just pulls up from about 12 feet. What a Braswell walking right there.
Tilapia, near right wing, feeding Mangano to pass too far out in front of long arm.
No angle, Selke. He is absolutely no angle. And then tries a one-hand little spinner. Yeah, Mangano, who had been spending a lot of time on the perimeter, finally posts up. And Tilapia does an awful job with the post feed. And now Mike Hallett's going to get Cam Gunter. Cam Gunter did a very nice job in his 4 or 5 minutes.
He seemed very comfortable down the low post, distributing the basketball, playing on defense as well. Bernardini far right to the baseline. The fadeaway doesn't fall. Gobbling up the rebound, Porter Braswell, who averages 3.2 boards per game. He takes it back the other way, and in the key, draws contact against the Quakers. That'll be the fifth team foul against Penn. We'll go against Rob Belcourt, the first for him. Check that, make it the sixth team foul.
Big shot, Bob.
Big shot. Braswell has 2 points on the evening, looking for his third, an 84% free throw shooter. That is team hockey Bulldogs. Braswell notches number one. 26-11, Penn's lead down to 15 with 6:10 to go in a first half that has been controlled from the start by the Quakes. Second one for Braswell, rattles off, leaping for the rebound, Mike Hallett. Hallett, this is his fourth game, his first appearance since Monday, January the 3rd, the Quakers' 24-point loss at Kentucky at Rupp Arena. Top of the arc, Bernardini walks the pass, far right Rosen for three, rattles off the rim, rebound for Tilapia.
Decent set play, though. Ball comes across, and then Rosen fades.
Tilapia pulls up under the arc near right. Rebound for the hands of Hallett to Mangano. He can't clean up. Ball high above the rim. Knocked out the near right perimeter. Tracked down by Katz. Top of the arc. Braswell carries it from beyond. Braswell is 21st three-pointer of the season. Yale now is in the dozens, in man. 26-14.
First sign of life, really, for Yale. Multiple opportunities. Braswell ends up with the three, but 10 runs away from the ball. I think everybody kind of assumed that one other guy was going to get it. It never happened.
Bernardini trapped far right corner. Top of the arc, he has Cartwright. Cartwright running the offense with 15 on the shot clock. 5:07 to go in the first. Penn leading by 12. Cartwright's pass intended for Turley along the far right baseline, deflected out of bounds.
Decent look, Connor Turley, open on the baseline, tipped away. Really like the way Miles Cartwright has dictated the action and gotten into the teeth of the Yale defense.
9 on the shot clock, Cartwright inbounds, far right corner, top of the arc, Rosen, high, left-hand dribble, kick out, top of the arc, Talent. Far right of the wing, Cartwright looking for Turley, the horn sounds as the shot clock expires. The ball deflected out of bounds by the Bulldogs, however, Jeff Clark indicating that the shot clock had expired at that point in time, so you don't get
somebody's got to get one in the air, though, Celtics.
Right,
the red and blue crew in force tonight.
Almost on the floor to the
almost the, yeah,
top of the
beginning here. Like,
the
late arriving crowd, you all of a sudden you look over there and it's packed.
Braswell leading the Bulldogs offense, which averages 68.8 points per game, contained for just 14 points so far tonight. Morgan, a leading pass along the far left baseline to Mangana. Being fronted by Eggleston, kick out far left Salafia, near right of the wing. Braswell can't fire home another three with the rebound. Bernardini for Penn.
Yale now 4-for-19 from the floor.
And 1-for-8 from outside the arc. Top of the arc, Rosen at the foul line, kicks it far right, Eggleston for three, good! He jams it from the outside. He's the Ivy League's leader in three-point field goal shooting percentage, his 17th three-pointer of the year.
Mangano is just a hair late getting out there. I thought he was actually going to get a piece of it. He doesn't. Eggleston knocked it down right in his mug.
29-14, lead back up to 15 for Penn with 3:58 to go in the first. Foul line, Anderson, left foot pivot. Pops on the far left side of the lane, ducking in and delivering the deuce. Nice move in there by Rhett Anderson, who averages 3.1 points per game.
Rhett. Not a whole lot of good Rhetts out there. You know what? I'm going to give myself a basketball team. Give me a couple of Rhetts.
Rattling the arc. At the top, Eggleston. Near left baseline. The Cartwright taking Salafia. 2-for-2.
Cartwright really fails out Jack Eggleston right there. Like Jack was on his heels, throws a pass. I thought had every right to be tipped away. Cartwright not only gets his feet underneath him, but and then gets the last real quickly before he can get any defense there.
Austin Morgan, a hard take in the lane, misses. The ball bounced into his breadbasket as he was fanny down on the floor, and upon securing the rebound.
Yeah, you're going to timeout. One of the kids from, what was it, Mississippi State or something like that last night on his rear end. You know what? Forget it. I'm going to save this timeout. I'm going to get one in the air.
3:10 to go in the opening half. Penn leading Yale by 15 large, 31-16. And Penn fans, on behalf of our friends at ShopRite, we'd like to welcome the Ball Kids and ISD Floor Wipers.
Floor Wipers, Celtics.
For tonight's game, ShopRite is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. ShopRite, one place, your place. The place tonight is the Palestra. Good showing thus far by the Penn Quakers, leading 15 over Yale, 31-16. The Quakers trying to back-to-back victories for the second time this season. Start Ivy League play 1-0 for the sixth time in the last seven seasons.
Penn's defense a little flat right now. Yale on a 1-4 set straight on the baseline.
The shot clock is at 34 seconds.
Just they try and run a lob here with Penn that flat defensively.
Far left baseline, Morgan pitching into Braswell towards the lane, gets the bump and the bucket. 31-18, the Bulldogs have cut within 13, and Porter Braswell will head to the free throw line following this break. 3:09 to go in the first half, time out of the floor, the score of Penn on top of Yale by 13, 31-18. From Milligan Sports, 10 men's basketball, 950 ESPN, the best sports network.
Larry went to the AT&T store to shatter decades of Valentine's Day tradition. In his hand was a high-tech smartphone, a Valentine's gift for his girlfriend, Liz. This year, Larry's pledge of everlasting love would not come in the form of an unfunny greeting card or a cliche like a dozen roses. This year, Larry would show Liz that real love was a phone for texting love notes, emailing photos, and going online. Larry would give Liz this awesome new AT&T phone. But first, Larry would pick up a dozen roses, because Larry's not crazy.
Get a great deal on the perfect Valentine's gift at AT&T. We think possible.
AT&T and BlackBerry have teamed up to evolve the smartphone. BlackBerry Torch, now just $99.99. A brilliant touchscreen, full web, Facebook, and Twitter on a single screen, all working seamlessly with the BlackBerry keyboard and available in three colors, red, white, and black. Only from AT&T. We think possible.
Two-year wireless service agreement with minimum $15 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic other charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Minutes and 9 seconds remaining in the opening half, and the Palestra, the Penn Quakers in their 2011 Ancient Eight opener, 13 points in front of the Yale Bulldogs in that 31-18. And we were just discussing during the break that this is the Yale Bulldogs team that acquit itself pretty well during the non-conference season. Lost by 3, second game of the year at Providence.
Should have won the game by all accounts.
Defeated the Steve Donahue-led Boston College Golden Eagles.
The Golden Eagles? I think they're just the Eagles, though.
They're not I mean, if you really, I could be wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's just the BC Eagles thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, you know.
I'll stick to the Desert Schools. But, you know, Yale, it's interesting. They finished in...
You're like a Kardashian at this point. You're going to start talking slow and adding words. The Golden Eagles.
I'm laughing because you're...
Because you watched that show.
No, because I don't know what the Kardashians do, but I'm, I am very much impressed and respecting...
My depth of knowledge.
Yeah, put the drop into the Kardashians in there.
Well, the thing about Yale is, we're just talking about it, as you said, they... You would expect them to be a little bit more fired up in this game as Braswell makes the second, cutting the lead to 31-19. So a 12-point lead, obviously not insurmountable. But Yale hasn't shown a whole lot of signs of life, and it's surprising, giving as well as they played as a chick ball by Braswell. And the other thing I was saying during the break is you know they'll be a totally different team at home when we go face them up there. Not saying that this game is over by any stretch of the imagination, but... They were a little flat down here last year.
Yeah.
This is kind of surprising.
These two squads have split the season series each of the last 2 years. Each win for both programs coming on their respective home floor. Penn with the ball leading by a dozen. 19-2, 2:50 to go in the first half. Top of the arc, Doherty, ball above his head, dribbles near left, handoff Cartwright. Shot clock at 10. Doherty parallel to the near left baseline. Right hand dribble in the lane. Thigh high. Try to fight past Mangano. Shut off. Took out Cartwright. Takes the foul line. The jumper off iron. No good. Rebound. Track down by Porter Braswell.
And a little stagnant offensively last couple possessions.
Morgan near right corner. Unable to hit a three. Rebound Eggleston. Rosen.
To get Yale back in the game.
Yeah,
really gets their energy up.
Rosen bolts for the bucket, high off the glass. He's got it, going to the window for two. Zach Rosen with 9, Penn's lead back up to 14 points, 33-19, 2:05 left in the first. Yeah, man, it would be great to see the Quakers take a double-digit edge in the locker room at the break. It would
be great to see them take a 20-point edge in the locker room at the break.
Mangano, a line drive laser three from the top of the arc. His 16th three-pointer of the season. 33-22, Penn's lead down to 11. A minute 43 to go in the first. Eggleston ignites, far right baseline. Kick out Bernardini, near left corner. Foul committed by Sam Martin, his third here in the opening half. And that stands the Quakers in that, because that pass was a bullet to Bernardini in the near left corner. It would have deflected off his hands and out of bounds.
Ball out of bounds. Yeah, I was watching the action underneath. So this is why you're the greatest play-by-play in the business.
15 foul against the Yale Bulldogs. The Quakes will inbound far right baseline. Leading by 11, 33-22. Cartwright, ball above his head. A lob toss. The far right wing, Rosen, adjacent to the Ivy League logo. On the Fletcher Hardwood. Bernardini, far right baseline, in the lane, his pass deflected back out near left perimeter. Cartwright, long two on the way, Austin, mark, no good. Offensive rebound to Doherty, and he's fouled after he brought it down.
Tyler Bernardini actually fumbles the ball on the pass, doesn't quit on the play, tips it out to Miles Cartwright, who goes up right in the face. It wasn't Mangano, was it? I think it was the other kid. Kreisberg.
Greensburg. Cartwright, inbounds to Rosen near left low post, elevates for two.
Then broadcast. I can be impartial when I'm doing, you know, non-partisan games.
Rosen in double figures for the 13th time in 15 games that he's played in this season. 35-22, 70 seconds left in a very solid first half of Ivy League basketball for Penn in 2011. Mangano tries again, almost an air ball for three from the far left wing. It nicks the iron, rebound to Rosen. 57 seconds left in the first. Pump fake Edelson goes to the far right baseline, pulls up, off the mark, offensive rebound, Doherty, foul!
Good call.
An offensive foul by Fran Doherty as
good
he tries
rebound.
To muscle inside.
Good rebound by Fran Doherty, just laid right into Austin Morgan.
Red Anderson will come in and relieve Jeremiah Kreisberg, Bernardini, and Doherty to the bench. Connor Turley and Rob Belcour back in for Penn. 35-22, Quakers by a baker's dozen.
Stop in a bucket, Celtic. That's all you're looking for right now.
14
Jerome Allen does have the defender timeout, the smart bomb timeout left if he needs to use it.
14-second differential between the game and stock clock. Brett Anderson throws the ball away near right sideline. Is Celtic fell down at the top of the arc, claiming he was sucked by a Quaker, and Jerome Allen's in there, and we'll use that aforementioned the smart bomb timeout. One of these weeks, I'm going to be able to say to you,
right,
when you say smart bomb user will be timeout,
you don't want to end your game of defender with a smart bomb on the board. Smart bomb wipes out everything.
I've just been really very much committed
to your Donkey Kong.
Consumed by Donkey Kong Country Returns on Nintendo Week. It's a tough one.
They have these days. You know, I have
no Redding Phillies. They got plenty of time on your
hands. Yeah.
36 seconds flat to go and a good first half for the Penn Quakers.
Now, the Yale 35 comes 22. Out here, maybe picks up a little full court pressure, try and rush Penn into something. Do something to get another possession in this first half.
Yale's in there looking for its first 3-0 start in the Ivy League since 1999-2000. The Ivy League portion of the schedule that year played in 2000.
So here we are. I said, why not come out, pick them up, try it. They're just going to let Penn walk the ball up the floor. No pressure. So Penn's going to get a free inbound.
Yeah.
Pretty much assures that Penn's going to get the last shot of the half.
It doesn't even make it up there.
What a try.
Yeah. So second differential between the game and shot clock. Top of the arc, Eggleston, red and blue from right to left now. The front court as we see it, court side at the Cathedral. 20 seconds to go in the first half. Far right wing, Rosen, retrieving a pass from Cartwright, working on Braswell. On the baseline, Bernardini pulls the trigger far right. No good for three. Tap out Eggleston in the hands of Braswell. Bolting back left right in the lane.
Oh, come on.
Down by Bernardini. With 5 9/10 of a second to go in the first half.
See the play where the guy from UConn throws up the 80-foot shot at the end of the game because he thinks time's running out. He's like 11 seconds left.
Have you been watching much of UConn this year?
No. That was Tyler Bernardini just shooting one way too early. About 15 seconds left. Penn should get the last shot. Said Yale's going to get two free throws, and Penn's going to have to rush to get it up the floor.
Braswell deposits his first. Porter Braswell now with 7 points on the night. 35-23 is the score. The Quakers have Cartwright positioned the top of the arc behind Braswell. The right-handed shooting guard's second is good. 35-24, 11-point game. Now 5 seconds to go in the first. Rosen across the timeline in the front court. Towards the lane. The fall away, no good. Knocked away by Mangano and Anderson. As the horn sounds to mark the end of a very sound first half.
Rosen takes that one
Quakers
all the way to the basket and challenges a 6'10 Mangano. And again, an opportunity to pull up for three and certainly an opportunity to pull up for an 8 or 10 footer.
35-24, the Penn Quakers leading the Yale Bulldogs, 20 minutes in the books. In game number one of the 2011 Ivy League schedule for the 25-time champion, Red and Blue. Coming up on the Quaker halftime show, we'll go around the ancient eight on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard, and also a conversation, a one-on-one interview with Penn senior tri-captain Jack Eggleston. Bob Linehour in the house as well. Terrific to see the Big Five Hall of Famer, good man, the former Quaker head coach in the building.
It is. Well,
before the game, an asset of the program.
Talking with Coach Allen and staff, just an all-around great supporter of our fine program and university.
35-24 at intermission. Quakers leading the 2-0 in the Ivy League. Yale Bulldogs. Halftime show is next from Elgin Sports. Send in basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers!
If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit SitHowYouWant.com and explore Generation by Knoll, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knoll, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still, visit SitHowYouWant.com today.
Your Monday will never be the same, because it's Fajita Rita Monday at Chili's. Get a double order of classic fajitas for only $14.49. A full pound of juicy, marinated steak or chicken grilled to perfection, served sizzling with onions, bell peppers, and the works. Enough for two, just $14.49. And a single order is $8.99. Enjoy a frosty 10-ounce top shelf or Caribbean margarita for only $2.99. It's Fajita Rita Monday, all day, every Monday at participating Chili's.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies for 2 years running, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We win a lot. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Halftime at the Paul Westro. A lot of snow on the ground outside.
A lot of pre-produced segments for halftime.
Yeah.
Can I get a slice of pizza and a cola?
Absolutely, man. However, if you were to stand up right now, you might interrupt the TV shot.
How great would that be? Yeah. Now they're off. I'm watching that. But
you're no stranger to the Comcast Network air.
Yeah, next week, actually, I got to do the St. Louis UMass game for CBS College.
Of course, there you go, Vivian.
Get the short straw. Got to go watch the flu.
35-24, the Penn Quakers on top of the Bulldogs in the Red and Blues Ivy League opener. That is the score here in the University City. What's happening out there the rest of the game today? For that, we turn to the Comcast Sportsnet. Out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by our pals at Comcast Sportsnet, noted as Philly College Hoops better than our buddies at Comcast Sportsnet. All Ancient Eight conference action tonight in the league. Good one between two of the other first-place teams in the league tonight. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, Harvard on top of Columbia, both at 2-0, following sweeps of Dartmouth and Cornell, respectively. At the half, 33-32, Midman, Harvard leading Columbia.
Don't worry about it. I mean, if you're a Harvard fan, don't worry about it. I don't think Columbia has the firepower to win that game in Cambridge.
Hanover, New Hampshire, Dartmouth is pounding 0-2 Cornell, 31-14, 20 minutes through that one.
Yeah, that's like the games from the at Dartmouth game. Last year was probably the Columbia at Dartmouth, Brown at Dartmouth. You could have maybe enough to go watch them. That one, the Cornell at Dartmouth game this year just sounds like a total stinker.
And the other game in action right now, the Princeton Tigers, the Ivy League preseason media poll favorite, putting the hurt on the Brown Bears, leading by 13 in that one, 42-29. That at the half at Jadwin.
Relatively expected. I think Princeton's one of the stronger teams, one of the four teams, I would say, that has a chance to win the league. Brown, not so much, although Jesse Eagle He does a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, play hard
for him. It's a tough spot.
Yeah, they had a bad matchup with the Yale Bulldogs the last two games of the league, so Brown in danger of dropping to 0-3 in the Ivy League season with a loss tonight at Princeton. Princeton and Penn each with their respective Ivy League opener tonight. Once again, Harvard leading Columbia by 1.5 at Cambridge. Dartmouth on top of Cornell by 17 at the half, and also at intermission at Chadwin. Princeton leading Brown by 13 points. Here at the Palestine Penn, Quakers on top of the Yale Bulldogs by double digits, 35-24, an 11-point lead for the Red and Blue. On the other side, a one-on-one interview with Quakers senior tri-captain Jack Eggleston, recognized for scoring 1,000 points in his career before tonight's game, first true home game since he met that milestone back on December 22nd at Delaware. More on the halftime show on the way from Delaware Sports, 7-10 Basketball, 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable, so you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs, and you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to planforfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee at the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen. If I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
Halftime continuing at the Palestine. The Penn Quakers leading the Yale Bulldogs by 11, 35-24. The club's Ivy League opener. Well, the outgoing Quakers senior class, the true seniors, not counting Darren Smith and Andre Sharma, both fifth-year seniors, they have never savored that sweet sensation of winning an Ivy League champion. And that is certainly foremost on the mind of senior tri-captain Jack Eggleston tonight, as he and his club began a 14-game push towards what the team hopes will be a 26th Ivy League title for the team. And earlier tonight, I had a chance to chat with Jack, coming off of an 8-point personal best 15-rebound performance last Saturday against St. Joseph. Jack, you're a very modest, humble dude, but tonight before the game, you had a chance to be recognized for scoring the 1,000th point in your Quaker career, the 35th member of the program to achieve that feat. And even though you're much more about the team concept than the individual, that's got to be pretty cool to know that your name's up there along the likes of Beck, Havlak, Onyekwe, Jordan Allen.
You say those names, and I'm almost embarrassed to be among them, because I don't feel like I belong. And I don't feel like I will belong until I have a banner hanging in the rafters next to the banners that those men earned.
You mentioned that goal for you, for this team this year, to win an Ivy League championship. Can you imagine what it would be like to have 4 years go by here and not be able to claim one of those crowns?
No. That thought is something that scares me, you know, to some extent, but it also motivates me. And, you know, the guys who have been here for some time and have not had the fortune to experience the championship are just that much hungrier and that much more excited for the start of this Ivy season, and we realize the opportunity that we have in front of us tonight.
You mentioned the motivation as you look out ahead of this Ivy League schedule. For you, your fellow senior tri-captain Connor Turley, junior tri-captain Zach Rose, and maybe some of the other veterans, what's the message, what's the tone that you guys tried to evoke this past week in practice?
We just talked about how this is a 14-game tournament, and if you don't bring your A game any given night, whether it's, you know, here against Yale in our opener of the Ivy League season, or whether it's at Dartmouth on some snowy Saturday night in Hanover, it's going to hurt you. We have to bring it every single night, and we have to go into every game and every practice right now thinking we win the Ivy Championship today.
Speaking of Penn, senior forward and tri-captain Jack Eggleston entering game number one of Ivy League play tonight at the Palestra halftime between the Quakers taking on the Yale Bulldogs. Jack, 14 games through, you rank 12th in the league in scoring, 3rd in rebounding. How would you evaluate the season you've had so far?
You know, we've struggled as a team in putting together some 40-minute segments. You know, I thought we've defended well in spurts. We haven't put it together as well as we could have, but, you know, I think we definitely have seen some progress. So we just got to keep improving every day, preaching to the young fellas that, you know, this is a grind and we got to bring it every day, and, you know, hopefully we can be successful.
The previous game versus St. Joseph's, 8 points, 4 assists, but you beasted it for a personal best, 15 rebounds en route to your first career Big Five victory. Where does that experience rank among those that you've been able to have here so far as a member of the Penn program?
It's really incredible. I mean, you look at the atmosphere that we had here Saturday night. And the game was on TV. There's 8,000 plus in the Palestra. And, you know, this is what Penn basketball is supposed to be about in my career. And, you know, it's disappointing that it took me 3.5 years to get to this point, but I'm glad I finally got a taste of what it should be.
Well, wrapping up with the Red and Blue senior forward Jack Eggleston, a tri-captain of this year's club. Game number one of the Ivy League season in 2011 at the break. Penn and Yale at the Palestra. We were talking earlier about you becoming a member of the 1,000 Point Club and some of the names that are on that list. Well, very neat name expected in the building this weekend, Bob Weinauer, Big Five Hall of Famer, former coach here at Penn. You can see the banner on the north side of the rafters, 1979 head coach of the Final Four team. You got to work with him down at Duke last year, a little bit of a chance to get to know him. How neat is that, then, being able to interact with someone who's achieved so much in this game?
It's incredible to get to know a man whose legacy hangs in the rafters and is on the walls in the concourse has been a real treat. And he couldn't have been more supportive of us. You know, he was down in North Carolina to see us in the program's worst loss in our history, but yet was still positive and talking about how we're moving in the right direction. We have the pieces, and just the support that he brought through some of the darkest days of, you know, the program in my career was absolutely incredible.
Still 14 games to go. Well, maybe 13 and a half counting the second half of this one tonight. Do you have the most memorable interaction with a member of the Penn basketball family?
I'd say last year during the Ivy season, it was after the alumni game, and a bunch of the guys who had been present and played in the game hung around and were in the locker room for our pregame. And, you know, Mr. Beck was there, Mr. Morris, you know, some of the Mr. Pavlak, some of the all-time greats in the program were just crowded around us, you know, just giving us their support again in some of the toughest times that Penn basketball has ever seen. And that really meant so, so much to me, to have them share with us how important the tradition and history of this program is to them still when they're, you know, 20, 30 years down the road doing whatever it is, you know, working and having family. It meant a lot.
Lakers senior tri-captain Jack Eggleston, who produced a total of
9 points, two rebounds. It's getting a little choked up there on the
final. Coached by me last
year.
Well, I mean,
that is what I was putting out.
If I were playing, I happen to be on.
God,
the team I had.
We're in 2009, 2010.
I know I can get appreciation at home,
something. Moving along.
Dancing.
Jack Eggleston, 9-2 Vin Man in the first half. What other numbers jump off that first half stat sheet that you've
got? Yale, 7 for 25 from the floor. They're lucky to only be down 11, 8 for 9 from the free throw line, keeping them in this game. Penn, 14 for 28 from the field, so you'll take that 3 for 8 from 3. I thought Penn got a little stagnant offensively after running out to that early lead. I think it's going to be important that they come out and start this game with the same type of energy they started the first half.
Bulldogs with the ball to open up the second half from right to left. Now in the front court as we see a court side of the Palestra, 35-24, 10 by 11. Braswell, along with Wilhite, Kreisberg, Mangano, and Morgan for Yale. Jumper far right side of the lane, short for Braswell. With the rebound, Turley, he, Rosen, Eggleston, Bernardini, and Cartwright, 10-5-man personnel.
Good defense by Penn early. Good team defense, actually.
Rosen near right wing. Top yard Turley. Dribble handoff back to Zach. Zach at his pocket pick by Kreisberg. Rosen picks him up. Kreisberg's one and rattles out. Follows his own miss and puts it back for a pair.
That's got to frustrate Jerome Allen. Kreisberg picks Zach Rosen. The bad part is nobody goes out running with him. So when Kreisberg misses the layup, nobody's there for Penn to clean it up.
Ball knocked away, far left sideline by Wilhite. Yale Vince within single digits in terms of their deficit for the first time since the first 3 minutes of this game. 35-26, 60 seconds into the second half.
And Penn's action offensively is bringing Connor Turley with Greg Mangano away. There's a nickel dimer on Wilhite.
We'll go against him.
That's a tough third. But just to get back to it, Connor Turley, who's been guarded by Mangano, Jerome Allen trying to bring him away and get him in the high screening action so Yale doesn't have any shot blocker back there.
Bernardini under the arc, far left, pitching the far left corner, Cartwright back to Tyler, far left baseline, the fadeaway, short off the rim, loose ball near right baseline, Mangano and Turley dive for it. Jeff Gaffney saying Connor Turley, his fingertips, the last piece of flesh to touch the basketball.
John Gaffney saying that, Selke. That's okay. Jeff Clark, John Gaffney. You said Jeff Gaffney.
There was my confusion.
Combined two officials.
That's
a frightening thought.
Mangano, right high post. Turley covering him, pushing him about 16 feet away from the bucket. Mangano tries to dribble to the far right baseline. A quick try, no good. Rebound, Eggleston.
He's done a pretty good job on Mangano. Only 7 points, but 2 for 7 shooting and only 2 rebounds.
Hey, 4 straight double-doubles coming in tonight.
Offensive foul called against
Jack Eggleston as he was trying to set a screen for
Kyle
Cartwright.
It's a bad call.
So that'll be the second personal foul on Jack Eggleston and the Quakers' first team foul here in the second. 35-26, Yale with the only 2 points of the second stanza. With the ball, top of the arc, Morgan waves at with the left hand of Cartwright. Good defense by Cartwright. Braswell, far right corner, can't hit a three. Offensive rebound.
And give him a
look by Kreisberg.
Braswell gets a pretty good look at it on the corner. From the corner, Rosen a little late on the closeout. Yale starting to use its size.
Wilhite zips inside for an easy two. Unscathed, 35-28. Vince, we've got ourselves a game. Quakers lead at 1.18, now down to 7.
And Mangano does a great job on the screen.
Cartwright looking for Turley in the lane. It trickles. The pass does out to the perimeter. Picked up by Eggleston.
Penn sees Rosen. Penn fortunate to maintain possession right there. Jerome Allen possessed. Calm this down.
Rosen,
point guard,
hitting Turley in the lane. A foul on the way up. Committed against Connor Turley by Austin Morgan. That'll be the first for Morgan and the second for the Bulldogs.
A little bit more what you're expecting to see out of these Yale teams. Playing a little tough, playing a little physical. Jerome Allen seeing tough and physical from Yale. Is going to bring in Rob Belcour. Not sure who he's going to bring him in for. It'll be interesting.
Connor Turley shooting at 65.8% from the free throw line this season. All nylon on his first. He has 3 points. And reestablishes a lead of 8 for the Penn Quakers, 36-28.
Belcourt in for Tyler Bernardini.
The Penn Quakers have been in that win versus St. Joseph's on Saturday. A remarkable 15-for-15 from the free throw line in the second half. After not getting a foul shot off in the first, Tilly goes 2-for-2. Big free throws by Connor Tilly to try and stem a little bit of the mow that Yale was trying to muster. Penn now leading the back by 9 as their advantage, 37-28. Far right wing Braswell, top of the arc, Kreisberg at the top of the key, along 2 won't go.
Frighteningly bad shot by Kreisberg. What can he possibly, there's no juice in that shot.
Fourth rebound for Jack Eggleston. Rosen looks to his right, to the near sideline, where he receives instructions from John R. Rockwell, head coach. Then pass the ball to Jerome Allen. Rosen, a lot to Eggleston, trying to get Cartwright back door. He's blocked by Mangano.
Twice in two possessions, they've tried to get Cartwright going back door, and twice Miles Cartwright has bailed Penn out, because I didn't think there was any way either of those passes were getting there. And he just was in no position to go up strongly right there, tried to go to the reverse, and Mangano just easily erased it. 15 seconds on the shot clock, Selke.
Inbound to Cartwright towards the key with the right hand. No, a foul won't drop for Turley, who sprung up to try and send it in with the rebound. Braswell in the lane. He's tripped up by Connor Turley. And that'll be the third Quaker team foul.
Cartwright gets fouled on the first shot. And then Connor Turley going for the spectacular as a certain mustachioed man that used to run the sideways here. Spectacular will sometimes get you to. Solid will always get you to. Or fundamental. I can't remember what it was. Something to that effect.
Then man, there's one of those Southright floor wipers that we so deserve those thanks that are given them these broadcasts.
I'm calling them floor wipers instead of ball boys and ball girls.
I thought that was protocol for this year. 16:32 to go in the second half. 37-28, 10 by 9. Morgan in down to Kreisberg in the near left corner. Looks like he might have picked up his pivot foot, no call. Hand off to Morgan. Light lost the ball. Shot by Turley. Penn with a 4-on-1. Cartwright on Mangano in the lane. Foul and the finish for Miles Cartwright. Miles Cartwright gets Penn back up by 11 points. 39-28 a catch for one more for Cartwright to tack on for 16-21 to go in the second half.
Late whistle there, actually. I wasn't sure whether they were going to give Cartwright the foul because it was clear he was trying to climb up the chest of Mangano. I think it's the right call, watching the replay, and Miles Cartwright gets a little home team roll.
Miles Cartwright on the night now has 7 points, trying to round out and smooth that total out to 8, and reestablish a 12-point lead in the game for the Penn Quakers.
It is clear Miles Cartwright, the best athlete on the floor for either team, just quicker. His length is there. His court sense is very good. He's playing at a different speed right now.
Comes up empty on that free throw try. The lead remains 11 for Penn. 39-28. Foul line jumper Mangano. A swift, good range from the 6'10", 240-pound junior center.
Again, though, if that's the shot you're going to give up, a little 15, 16-foot fadeaway from Mangano, he makes it, he makes it. You know, it's a good, strong flash, a good, solid shot, but he just... If you're a Penn fan, you let him take that.
Cartwright almost lost the handle far left side. There was actually a disagreement between John Gaffney and Bruce Rothwell on whether or not the ball went off of Cartwright or Yale freshman.
Rothwell actually asked for help, and John Gaffney immediately says, Penn ball. Yale not happy about it.
15:46 to go in the second half. Time into the floor to score. Penn on top of Yale by 9. 39-30. Pavilion Sports, Penn Men's Basketball, 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victory. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them. In the fight for recovery, in the game of their lives, Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works.
phone. Find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen. If I'm gonna have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Ten fans every night at 6 to 10. Get total high definition coverage of your favorite Philly sports teams on Comcast Sportsnet Sports Night. Tune into Comcast Sportsnet for the most in-depth reports in town every night at 6 and 10 on Sports Night. Only on Comcast Sportsnet, nobody does Philly sports better. 15:46 remaining in regulation. The Penn Quaker is trying to keep the Yale Bulldogs at bay in the Red Bulls Ivy League opener for 2011. 39-30 is the score. The Penn Quaker is predicted by the Ivy League media in a preseason poll to finish fourth in the conference out of its 18. Yale.
Behind Yale, right? Yale was third.
But it's actually Princeton Harvard point now.
The people that are voting sent their votes in last year. Are you kidding?
No. Do some homework, people. Pay attention. I agree.
Come on, man.
Penn with the ball, 20 on the shot clock, leading by 9. Cartwright, near right wing, red and blue, home right unis from left to right. Eggle, Stana, calling for the travel along the far left wing as he picks up his foot.
Open as he comes, as Rob Belcour finishes the curl on that play. Hitch Eggleston. Well, you might want to think about
letting it fly, Jack.
Yes,
he is now, after a three-pointer earlier in this game, 17 of 35 from the outside this season. Sam Martin with three personal fouls, feeding top of the arc to Grace. Above the foul line, forces a 17-foot jumper. 39-32, Bulldogs within 7, and a ton of game left
here. Bad feeling about this.
Really, the Quakers led by as many as 18 in the first half. Rosen hands off to Cartwright, far left on the wing, Belcour. Eggleston outside the arc, far left, 16 on the shot clock. Eggleston non-dominant, right-hand dribble, feeding Belcour top of the arc. Rob pivots with the left foot, gets the feedback from Dougherty to the bucket, gets the bump, no hoop. So Belcour will go to the foul line.
Rob Belcour forcing it to get the call right there. Kind of awkwardly flips that one up towards the basket. If you're a Penn fan, you will certainly take it. Yeah, I just watched the replay. I can see getting that call. Probably a no call.
Rob Belcour. He has come off the bench in his last six games after starting at the beginning of the season, getting his first free throw, making it 40-32 with 14:52 to go in the second half. Belcour, 2 points on Saturday versus St. Joseph, 1-for-4 from the floor, 0-for-1 to the outside. He has now scored in 3 straight games. The Quakers on the night, Jim Mann from the free throw line.
Why, Celtic? Why?
The bounce doesn't go.
I did. Why?
Yeah, 7-9 now as Belcour misses that one.
Oh, 7-9, they already missed one? Yeah. Okay. I thought we were going to get back to that.
My apologies for that. That was the Malloy.
The Malloy. The Celtic Malloy.
Colossia feeding Mangano far right baseline. Dockley on him. Grace in the lane, kick out, top of the arc, Wilhite short on the three attempt, rebound, Bernardini right in front of the bucket, oh, he nearly threw it away to Grace far left wing, but Rosen,
by Rosen.
Yeah, he really snagged it away from Grace. Quakers a little careless the last couple of possessions, Rosen weaving inside, kick out, Bernardini right, three rattles out, rebound to Mangano, his fifth, remains an 8-point margin in favor of the Quakers.
Challenged that jump shot, though, by Bernardini. I think it was Wilhite that got out the challenge. Makes a little bit of difference.
Top of the arc, Anderson. Dougherty defending. Near left on the low post. Mangano slices inside, carving up the Quakers' defense for two.
Rob Belcour.
He has 11.
Rob Belcour's on the backside of that defense right there. He's looking, and he looks away for a split second, and that's when the post feed comes, and instead of a steal, it's a bucket.
The Bulldogs have outscored the Quakers 10-5 here in the second half. Eggleston free underneath, over the shoulder try, no good.
No need to go to the reverse. Jack Eggleston has it. I guess he goes to his dominant left hand right there. That's what he does.
Yeah, with a pep in its step now, down by 6, 40-34, 13-10 to go. Grace, far right of the wing. Rosen picks him up. Grace going baseline. Pump fake, draws the contact.
Oh, bucket.
It'll be two shots forthcoming for Southside guard Michael Grace.
The boat's taking on water, Southside. That is a total bailout. Gives him an up fake. Rosen gets off his toes a little bit.
I guess it's a foul.
Second personal for Rosen.
Benefit of having the monitor right behind us. Grace makes the first one.
First of the Quakers here in the second half. So Penn's lead now at just 5, 40-35. The second one bounces off the front of the rim and in for Grace. He goes to the bench. Porter Braswell subbing in. 40-36. The Quakers lead. Whittle away to just 4. At one point in this game, Vince. 18 points, 13 minutes to go. That's any team's game.
No doubt about that. A lot of basketball left to be played, Kelsey.
Bernardini, top of the arc, goes to Rosen. Near right, pulls the trigger. No good for three. Anderson hauling in the rebound.
Is it me, or is it like it's him right now, one passing shot?
Yeah,
I think he's getting a little bunched up.
Top of the arc, Anderson, 21 to shoot for Yale. Wilhite, far right baseline, rolls the pass, Mangano through a double team, short on the runner. The board belongs to Bernardini.
Mangano makes the same mistake that Eggleston makes on the other end. He tries to go to the reverse, leads with the ball, has it way away from his body. It's an easy block at that point.
Quick, need a bucket. Leading just by a slender four-point margin. 30-36. Thank you, Vincent. Top of the arc, Bernardini down low, Doherty, right low, post left-hand hook shot, blocked by Mangano, and then, he is not happy with the ensuing foul call, assessed by John Gaffney.
He gets the foul, though, right? He should be happy with it, because he got the call, he's coming out of the game. Fran Doherty just needs to take that with a little more authority.
That Mangano, his second block of the game, and with that, he ties the all-time mark at Yale with 108 squats.
Who'd he shot?
That coming in a moment, man.
I don't care, Chelsea, it doesn't matter.
40-36, near left, Salafia tries for a three, no good, and James Jones is going to
go right now.
Rosen draws a foul back the other way. He got off a
shot by Salafia. And you know what they always say, the bad shot is the first pass in the other team's fast break. And that's really what it was. Bad shot, rebound, run out, there it goes, media timeout.
Zach Rosen again drawing a foul as he went hoopward, and he will have two shots coming following this break. 11:42 to go in the second half. The Quakers now in a scrap with the Yale Bulldogs, leading just only by 4 points, 40-36. From Elegant Sports, Femmes Basketball, and I-50 ESPN, the Penn Sports Center.
There's always a moment of truth where it's either put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continue to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
PSC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Quakers,
I bet you couldn't find any more of my daughter's shoes to play when they're coming back.
Probably,
there's only two timeouts left, though.
That's true. I do believe that there are only two more songs that
were on my list.
Yeah,
all right. Fair
well,
enough.
I'll give the great Jesse Dennett, our studio coordinator, the benefit of the doubt. 11:42 left in regulation, 40-36. Turned into a game at the Pulaski. The Penn Quakers in front. The Red and Blue have never trailed in this outing. Their Ivy League opener. The Yale Bulldogs coming into tonight 2-0 in conference play, having slipped
5 points in 8 minutes of the second half.
Yeah.
Missed their last four field goals. Last field goal for Penn at the 16:21 mark. So that's almost 5 minutes of game action where they haven't scored.
Quakers, I believe, in that unofficially 1-for-6. 1-for-6 through them in the second.
Something's got to go in, right?
And whereas Yale was, it's a complete reversal of trends in terms of Yale's storyline the first half when the Bulldogs shot 7-for-25. Zach Rosen is at the line, the Southpaw junior tri-captain, shooting at 73.7% from the free throw line this season. Has two on the way. The first one is good. 41-36. Rosen. Second low minutes played total of the season on Saturday versus St. Joe's with 31 minutes, 17 points. He notches number two, 42-36. So he gives his club a little bit of breathing room and heads to the bench. Miles Cartwright, Tyler Bernardini, Rob Belcourt, Connor Turley, Jack Eggleston. A bigger lineup for the Penn Quakers.
No Mangano out there for Yale either right now. So see how they're able to run their offense without their top scorer.
Will Height, far right, trying to beat Bernardini in the baseline. Good defense by Tyler. Loose ball, far right corner. Loose the handle, Morgan.
Rob
and
Belcourt.
It's picked off by Belcourt.
Rob Belcourt actually just out-tuffed everybody to knock that ball away.
Cartwright stumbles across the timeline through the panel. Red and blue split key, middle of the floor. In the front court, beating Braswell, handing off Eggleston. Reversing left to right. Granita, 2 points for Penn. Jack Eggleston, he now has 11 points.
Miles Cartwright, just as we said earlier, the quickest and best with the ball out there right now. Nobody can stay with him on the outside.
Morgan near left on the perimeter, goes baseline. Penn leading by 8, 44-36. Last 4 points belong to Penn.
Connor Curley's doing a very good job on the backside of Penn defense, showing up and just being a presence, physical presence, and now solid post defense forcing the miss. By whatever that kid's name,
he was just totally out of control.
I can't remember his name.
Well, that's a toughie. Jeremiah Kreisberg. Jeremiah was a Kreisberg. 44-36, 10 by 8. Cartwright, top of the arc. He and the Quakers from left to right. Lyles couldn't find the entry pass. Seeking Eggleston in the left low post. Out of bounds on the baseline. Bulldogs get the ball back.
You can't throw a one-hand hook pass to a guy that you're on a straight line with. Miles Cartwright takes one dribble to his left, and it's a layup. Instead, the ball goes out of bounds.
10th turnover of the night for the Quakers. 10 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the second. Quakers remain in front by 8 points, 44-36. Top of the arc, Mangano. Turley aggressively defending him. Will Height has Braswell far right on the wing. Foul line, Kreisberg away from the play. Connor Turley. Oh, he's sending Mangano to the hardwood, grimacing and wincing a little bit. Slight stinger, looks like a left ankle. Pain that Mangano is trying to shake off. Fresh 35, inbound to Kreisberg. Top of the key, a wide pass to Mangano is knocked away by Cartwright.
Another loose ball Penn doesn't come up with. It's a tough pass to Mangano, ball's loose. Either Cartwright nor Turley can come up with it, so Yale's going to get to finish the possession.
Shot clock, though, doesn't reset. It's at 18 seconds right now. Top arc, Will Height pulls the trigger way short for three. Rebound snared away from Kreisberg.
Big rebound
by
Eggleston. Just end the possession right there. Pick your teammates up.
Top of the arc, Eggleston, Penn leading by 8. Triple handoff, Bernardini to the bucket. No call on contact. Knocked out of bounds beneath the hoop by the Quakers. Ball going back to Yale.
Connor Turley trying to split the double team right there. And unable to get that one up on the glass. I'm trying to see if we get a replay. No. He was going out, not up.
Rosen back in. We're leaving Bernardini. Tyler contained for just one field goal in this game. He has a total of 6 points. two-thirds of that total from the foul line. Will Height, far right baseline, misfires the jumper. Offensive rebound, Mangano muscling inside, gets the roll for two. Mangano with a Baker's dozen, 44-38, Quakers lead, back down to six.
Mangano must have taken a Claritin at halftime because his pain allergy has cleared up. He is a much more physical player here in the second half.
8:53 to go in the second. Top of the arc, Eggleston. Rosen driving near right side of the lane. Peeling inside. Throws it away. Intercepted by Mangano. Ahead to Braswell. Through Eggleston. Car right to the rack for two. Got it. Oh, 94 feet the length of the floor. A foul as well.
No foul. Just a goaltending call. So now Yale pulls it within four. No foul. No foul.
It looks like Jeff Clark might have indicated no foul.
That's goaltending.
Correct.
All right. They got that one right.
The bucket did go through, but it was knocked around by Eggleston, who is trailing 44-40 in that. The Quakers lead as big as 18 earlier on in this game. With 9:09 to go in the first half, the Quakers in front only by four. Rosen, top of the arc, non-dominant right-hand dribble handoff. Cartwright goes back to Zach, near right wing on the perimeter. Far left feed, Belcourt. Kick out Rosen, far left for three. Off the back of the iron. Offensive rebound by Belcourt. Fresh 35 for the Quakers.
Nicely played by Rob Belcourt. Creates the shot for Zach Eggleston by driving into the teeth and kicking back, and then remains tough and physical and is able to get the rebound and get Penn another shot at it.
Rosen trailing behind. Curley tacks on two on the near right low post. The penetration then created by Rosen. The Quakers back up by 6, 7:51 to go in the second.
Great catch and finish by Connor Curley.
Top of the arc, Porter Braswell. The senior point man out of Scotts Plains, New Jersey for the Yale Bulldogs. Near left high post, Kreisberg. Playing it to Mangano. Far right baseline. Pull up. He punches in two. Ramp 17 feet away. 46-42. Mangano adding to his total. He has 15.
And he's really started to heat up in the second half. And he's a tough matchup. Get it going inside and outside.
Rosen somewhat silent in terms of scoring in the second. Only two free throws made. He has the ball at the foul line. Shooting Curley hard. Moves it. Blocked by Mangano. His third stuff of the game. And the whistle by
right there.
John Gaffney indicating it was last touched by the Bulldogs by the near right sideline just in front of the Penn bench as Curley and Mangano battling for the loose ball. Quakers will have it. After these words, 7:06 to go in the second. Time out of the floor to score. Quakers leading Yale by just four, 46-42. From Elegant Sports, it's 10 Rams basketball and 950 ESPN, the 10 Sports Center.
Quakers fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics. Supporters of the Penn women's basketball team can make a donation to worthwhile charities through the Charge for a Cure program. Fans can donate a designated amount for every charge taken by the Penn women's basketball team, with the proceeds going to one of the five leading charitable foundations: the ALS Association of America, the Lupus Foundation of America, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. A different charitable foundation will benefit each month, November through March, during the season. For more information or to make a donation, visit the women's basketball page at PennAthletics.com. That's Charge for a Cure at PennAthletics.com.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the things to come.
Here you go.
And
you know who this is? Tell yourself these.
Ted Stevens. Yusef Islam.
That's right.
Matter of fact.
Wow. Sit back and enjoy it. I think Cat Stevens is right. I've been happy lately, thinking about good things to come. The Quakers are going to finish this game on a good note.
Great to live.
Out in the edge of darkness, to ride the deep train. This one, my little girl starts swaying back and forth.
Yeah,
it's got a little hippie in her. You know,
yeah,
I'm waiting for her to get the lighter out and start waving it back and forth.
Pens fans, the next time you're visiting the Palestra or anywhere else on campus for that matter, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, located at 3818 Chestnut Street, right on the corner of 38th and Chestnut. Abner's Cheesesteaks, home of the best cheesesteaks in Philly. 7:06 to go at the Palestra. Ivy League opener for Penn on top of 2-0 Yale, 46-42. Quakers with the ball, only 10 seconds now to shoot. From the left to right, top of the arc, Eggleston, the first three, off iron, no good. Woof. That was close. Rebound, Bulldogs.
They can
get within a possession.
Reichsberg, though, closes out, challenges the three by Eggleston. And now here comes Yale again.
Near left, Martin has not been hesitant to heave the rock. Top of the arc, Grace. Shot clock at 15 for the Bulldogs. Rosen eyeing down Grace, top of the arc, right hand, dribble handoff to Wilhite. Shot clock at 8 for Yale, trailing by 4. Wilhite in the lane, pull up, a ride to the left. Great box out by Dougherty.
Out by Fran Dougherty. Looked like Freisberg was going to be in position for the rebounded stick back.
And Rosen baits Grace into a foul along the far left sideline.
Fran Dougherty doesn't get that rebound, but it looks like it's coming off long. Freisberg's going to stick it back. All Dougherty does is block out, let the ball, and get a hand on the ball, bounce it back towards his teammate. It's a big, big play by Fran Dougherty. It's not going to show up as him doing anything in the stat sheet.
9 shooting fouls, 16 foul, the last one to give to the Yale Bulldogs. The Penn Quakers in the second half.
Oh,
3 for 14 from the floor after going
Yale did 14 in the first.
Yeah, 28 in the first. 3, Eggleston off the inbound, left side of the lane for 2. Set up by Cartwright from the inbound feed.
Jack Eggleston just does such a great job of screening and then cutting hard after the screen. Mangano gets over there to challenge, but Eggleston is able to knock it down with the left hand.
Freisberg going to keep sprint by Bernardini. Roll off of the right sneaker.
So close. He
Miles Cartwright.
It looks like the ball's going to be loose. And then all of a sudden it goes out of bounds. Penn had a chance to get another steal and grab a little more momentum back.
Mentioned to man that with this, the start of the Ivy League season, the Penn Quakers, as it has become custom for this program, sporting the all-black Nike sneaks with the mid-calf-high black socks. As the ball coming inbound, foul on the play, committed by
Miles
Cartwright, 16 foul.
They hang it on, they say a hold.
Second one for Miles Cartwright, 5:57 to go in the second. 48-42. Quakes trying to cling to the lead they've had the whole game.
In the first half off this flat out-of-bounds play. They don't run it again. Looks like they're trying to get Mangano on a tuck-in.
Morgan, top the arc. Mangano for 3 off the iron. Rebound deflected by Eggleston to Bernardini.
Great job again by Fran Dougherty, though, closing out on Mangano, getting a hand up, making that 3 that much more difficult. And you said it, Selfie. Nice job by Jack Eggleston cleaning that up.
48-42, Quakers by 6. Dougherty top of the arc, back to Rosen, near right on the wing. Thigh-high dribble with the left hand, top of the arc, Cartwright, thought about 3, drive the lane, fouled by Greg Mangano, en route to the rack. Shots coming for Miles Cartwright, 17 foul for the Yale Bulldogs.
Miles Cartwright, he did the same thing against Temple. He said, look, I'm going to climb up the chest of everybody that gets in front of me. And you love that fearlessness to him. Didn't quite work out as well as he would have liked at Temple. But tonight, he's made a couple buckets, got a few foul calls, and makes a big first free throw.
Miles Cartwright entering tonight's 8th in the Ivy League. And free throw shooting, his percentage at 81.5%.
It's pretty good, Brian.
Not too bad. Got his first one. It's now 49-42. Seeking his second, and he's got it. A perfect switch.
Jerome Allen going to go offense, defense here. Going to bring Rob Belfort in for Miles Cartwright, who just made that free throw. Rob, a little more physical defender, a little better in the team concept right now.
Quakers lead back up to 8. 9 points for Cartwright. At the foul line, Mangano flings it to Kreisberg, far right of the wing. He has Morgan in the corner. Dougherty tries to pry the ball away on the far right baseline by Mangano. And Vinman is such a determined effort by the red and blue rookie out of Archbishop Wood down the stretch of this game.
Yeah, he's really played well the last couple minutes. Being physical, challenging, just being using that big frame of his.
Morgan lobs top of the arc, inbound to Kreisberg. far right on the wing, Morgan. Blanketed by Belcourt. Shot clock at 15 for the Bulldogs. 5 minutes to go in the Ivy League opener in regulation for Penn. Morgan a lob to Mangano. Far right baseline. Back to Doherty. Kick out. Morgan fires the five to shoot. Flushes to the outside for three. 50 to 45. The Quakers lead down to five.
And that's one of those Yale 2-for-16 from three-point range at that point. You're picking your poison. Mangano's been pretty good here in this second half. Rob Belcourt helping, and it's a little late on the closeout. And Yale gets the three.
Rosen near right corner, driving towards the lane. Pulls up, hit, a straightaway 15-footer, 52-45. First field goal of the second half for Zach Rosen.
Yale fans wanting a foul on Fran Doherty on the moving screen. May have had a case right there.
Hand in front by seven. Will Height, top of the arc. Bernardini with the right hand, motioning in his direction. Braswell unable to get past Rosen. Far right baseline, and he's forced into a walk.
No juice in that play for Braswell. He drives his baseline into 3-10 defenders.
4:04 to go in the second half. 52-45, and Vinman during the stretch. For the last 3 minutes game time from the previous media timeout to now. Clampdown, Quaker defense.
Quaker defense has been very good. Team defense. I mean, let's give Fran Doherty a little credit for that. He's done a nice job on Mangano, challenging shots and making him work a little bit.
Kind of a restless feel, understandably so, inside the Palestra. 23 to shoot, Rosen through a hole, far left, weaves under the bucket. Now back to foul line. Kicks out Cartwright. The near right wing, Miles to the foul line, trying to maneuver inside, lost the ball, but is fouled.
Get free throws after the break,
by Porter Braswell. That'll be the eighth Yale Bulldogs team foul. 3 minutes, 39 seconds to go in the second half. Time of the fourth score. Tampa top of Yale by 7, 52-45. Elgin Sports, 10 men basketball, 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Come closer. I am the old school light bulb, and I love to suck the energy. So delicious, so expensive. $1, $5, $20.
Old light bulbs waste about $44 a year. Get energy efficient CFLs with Pico Smart Lighting Discounts. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs to save you money. For saving details, visit pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victory. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them. In the fight for recovery, in the game of their lives, Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
6 days make the fruit for everyone in that gold country. You're in the place without a
man. You know what this is, don't you, Chelsea?
Just about 30 hours.
It's another one of my favorites with my daughter. She really likes when I go lower.
Oh,
Banana. Now, were some of these your favorites when you were...
It's funny. It's all the stuff that my dad, you know, played for me growing up. And
that's a cool thing.
It's great. The cool thing is watching her gravitate to the music and really get into it, you know. And it's, you know, everybody has kids, right? It's new to me.
Vince is growing with an enduring musical taste.
Cat Stevens and Jim Croce, for sure. And the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot, I listened to today. What a great, powerful song that one is.
Penn had a very powerful performance in the first half. Yale has controlled the second half. 3:39 remaining in regulation. 52-45, 10 miles. Cartwright, the right-handed shooting, the red and blue rookie at
1-1 or 2. What are they saying? 1-1 or 2?
Two shots, Vinman. Two shots.
That's a total bailout, too.
Cartwright connects on his first. His game total for points now at 10.
That should have been a 1-1 right there, Selfie. Not that Miles Cartwright wasn't making it, but tough to make the case that he was in the act of shooting when he got fouled.
Eighth time and now 15 games that Cartwright has reached double figures. Looking for his 11th, he locks in. and puts Penn in front by 9. Scoreboard looks a little bit better now than then, with two inverted numbers. 54-45, Quakes on top of Yale. Yale rode navy blue uniforms from right to left in the front court. Mangano gets a line from Wilhite, goes up and grabs two.
Zach Rosen late getting over there allows that pass to be completed. Jack Eggleston gets walked up the lane a little bit, but somebody's got to be there to help him on the lob.
54-47, Quakers lead back down to 7. Rosen fired by the other number one wearer on the court, Austin Morgan. Shot clock at 17 for Penn. 3 minutes to go in the second. Belcour gliding along the near right baseline. Kick out Cartwright. Far left. He buries a big three from the corner. 57-47 with 2:52 left. Penn back in front by double digits.
Rob Belcour just keeps that play alive. Really does a nice job of Miles Cartwright. No fear.
Huge separation. Eggleston deflects the ball to the left corner. Chasing it down and flicks it to Belcour. Intercepting a Bulldogs pass.
The rule is never save it underneath your own basket, but Jack Eggleston saves it near corner. And actually, I think he knew Rob Belcour was there. So great deflection, great save. Penn gets the ball going in the other direction.
18 to shoot for the Quakers. 2:20 left in the second half. Penn, she's going to close out Ivy League win number one. First game of the season. Rosen, top of the key, is two rattles off. Knocked out of bounds. Near right baseline by Fran Doherty.
Doherty got the start. Jerome Allen saying to the officials, he comes up the floor. The official saying, it's a good call. And Jerome says, no, it wasn't. I think Jerome actually had a case. Fran Doherty hits the ball. I thought it got knocked down. Now James Jones down 10. Going to take a timeout.
2 minutes, 11 seconds remaining in regulation. 57-47, 10 by 10. Yale drew within to his 4 points here in the second half. And Goodman, as we look at both sidelines, the coaching staff of the Bulldogs, gathered away from a players-only huddle at the bench. But the Bulldogs coaching staff, same goes to the 10 coaching staff led by...
That's the drill, pretty much.
Yeah.
As the coaches, you come together, you talk it out a little bit, take a couple suggestions, and then you dive in.
And a parallel note tonight, and throughout this weekend, the coaches in the Ivy League sporting sneakers.
You're the best.
In recognition of coaches versus cancer.
Indeed.
Heightened national awareness effort to that cause. And Philadelphia's in there, as you well know, I know that you and your wife Callie dig in on the annual gala at the...
Just yeah. Let you sit at the table that we buy into. You didn't mean to give us...
You guys are tremendous supporters of the cause that the...
Tremendous supporters of you, Brian. Forget about the cause. We love you.
Well, quite undeserving on my end, but very deserving. Additional funds and money for coaches versus cancer. Philadelphia is always one of the leading cities in terms of leading and championing that author and cause.
Yeah, Reed Dunphy and Judy Martelli just for a long time have taken point on that and really just led the efforts, and everybody else has kind of fallen in lockstep with it and has really become a great event. The ball and their efforts throughout the year are really just to be applauded.
Just the Quakers coming off a big, what you would have hoped would have been, momentum generating win on Saturday night versus the St. Joseph Hawks. 73-61, Big 5 win in the City Series finale this year for the Quakers. And the question was coming into tonight, could the club translate that into a positive performance this evening? They erupted out to an incredible start, leading by as many as 18 with 9:09 to go in the first. The Bulldogs have barked right.
The Bulldogs barked back
right back into it in the second half. The Quakers, they have responded when Yale has made their run.
Self, I haven't been listening to you.
Fair enough.
Somebody texted me, and I've been kind of looking at my phone as you've been going through that.
57-47, a score, pinned by 10. Bulldogs with the ball, right to left in the front court. Two minutes remaining in the second half. Wilhite, near left corner, trapped by Cartwright and Belcour. Feeding Mangano, drains a fallaway three from the near left sideline. Mangano, with his second three of the night and his 17th in the season, Yale draws within 7, 57-52, with a minute 55 left.
And relatively solid defensively there. And then at the end of the shot clock, Connor Charlie a little late on the closeout on Mangano. He's really Yale's only score. I don't know how you lose him.
he's watching the replay here. He looks very comfortable out there.
Coming off of a broken foot injury that he suffered last year, and to an extent that limited his production in 2009-2010 when he averaged 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds.
Doesn't Yale always seem to find somebody like that?
Whether it's him or
Dominic Martin or
Travis Pinnock was there for a while. They have some tough big guys. Yale goes through him. He had a somewhat sluggish first half, but he is really by the Bulldogs. The Quakers break it. Curley in the front court, 30-2. A minute 48 to play. Lob Curley from Bernardini.
Right down the pass, throwing a pass right there.
Pretty dangerous. Cartwright top of the arc, in the lane, the right-hand runner foul, no finish. Miles Cartwright back the line. 19 foul against the Yale Bulldogs with a minute 38 left. So Vin Man, the Quakers.
Oh, they are close. They are. And gets the ball over hand court, throwing over the top. Connor Curley does a pretty good job of getting the ball into the hands of a good free throw shooter in Tyler Bernardini, then dives the lane. Inexplicably, Tyler kind of throws a lob. It Curley goes up and gets and has the presence of mind to get out, run a little clock, and now Miles Cartwright going to get 1-1.
The front end falls to the red and blue freshman, three-time Ivy League Rookie of the Week Award winner. The most recent Ivy League Rookie of the Week Award winner, Jeremiah Kreisberg, only 2 points tonight after he dropped a career-high 13 Saturday versus Brown. To make it a 9-point game, Cartwright does just that. He has a sweet 16-point total, 59-50-10 on top of Yale, the Ivy League opener, 95 seconds to go. Braswell under the arc, far right, top of the arc, a three on the way by Mangano, no good, long rebound, at the perimeter, Eggleston tosses it over his shoulder, Kreisberg picks it up, hands off to Braswell. Braswell in the lane, lays in two near left side of the lane, 59-52, Penn's lead from the 7. Game clock moving, 70 seconds, full court by the Bulldogs. Rose and tiptoes the far left sideline, breaks the press, and cycles back out to the perimeter
here by Yale.
60 seconds to go. And now the ball knocked away by Braswell.
Trying to foul.
Yeah, James Jones indicating, the head coach is indicating near sideline. It was Braswell
now,
to go after
now he's calling for the foul. He said anybody but him. I think he's pointing to Rosen.
56-3 of a second to go in the second half. 59-52, Quakers by 7. With the ball, Eggleston tossing into the backcourt where Austin Morgan balls Miles Cartwright, the freshman, back to the line with 55 seconds to go. So,
and now 15-17 from the line. It's the second straight game where they've done a little work from the free throw line. And part of that's a function of who's shooting them. Miles Cartwright, very solid from the free throw line.
Cartwright with the right hand deposits his first. Now at 17 points, 60-52. It's
7-for-8 from the free throw line right now. So,
and Whitman, going back to the free throw point that you mentioned, the Quakers, and now the last two games, 31-33. Cartwright second, rattles around and through, making 32-34. Joe Allen takes the timeout, Penn in front by 9, 61-52. 55 seconds to go.
And Jerome Allen calls a timeout. He wants to get Rob, not that he needs to call a timeout, because he's going to get Rob Belfour into the game. I think defensively for Miles Cartwright, but Rob's just a little bit bigger and stronger at this point and a better matchup for some of the guys that Yale's throwing out there. I guess that's for thinking. I don't know whether I agree or disagree with it. I'm just trying to, my conjecture of why Rob at this point.
With the free throws in them, the Quakers, in the early stages of the second half, the Yale Bulldogs had outscored the Penn Quakers at 1 point. 10-5 in the second half. Penn really has to fight to get points. They
still not getting it done from the field in the second half, but from the free throw line. Now, 11-13. Now, and when they had kind of dropped anchor offensively, they've gotten to the line, and to their credit, have made free throws. And that's the difference in this game right now.
20 seconds separating the game and shot clock 10 leading by 9. Braswell to the bucket in the lane from 4 feet away. The finger roll is good. 61-74, 47-9, tenths of a second to go in the second. Ball to flick off the glass, picked up by Braswell.
Got
it. He delivers two. So it's 61-56, 46 seconds left. Jack Eggleston calls a timeout. What
Jack
a loopy break against
the ball off the underside of the backboard. Starting to feel like the Harvard game from last year where Cam was struggling so mightily to get the ball inbounded.
5-point game. Ooh, the 12th turnover
quickly
committed by the Quakers
in 4 seconds.
And just to reset what happened, Jack Eggleston was underneath the bucket. He tossed the ball, deflected off of the red panic on the underside of the backboard.
I replay that because I thought it would actually be out of bounds. I don't think there was any real way to get that ball in the way he did, but
I'm sure Braswell alertly turned around and saw the ball was free on the floor. So 46 seconds to go. Penn with the ball. Full court press being applied by the Bulldogs. 61-56. A 5-point game. Inbound to Bernardini, who's whacked from behind by Sam Martin. His fourth personal foul. He had three early personal fouls in the first half.
Tyler Bernardini now going to get a chance for two free throws. In this game, getting a little interesting right now, Celtics.
Bernardini sitting on just 6 points, 1-for-8 from the floor. Came in two tonight with a streak of 5 straight games in double figures. Bernardini knocks down number one to make it 62-56 to try and make it a 3-possession game. Should he convert here with 44 and one-tenth of a second left? Oh, 9 lines for the senior.
And Penn picks up a little bit token full court pressure just to make Yale inbound the ball and dribble it up.
Braswell, recipient of the inbound pass across the timeline with 5 seconds to spare. Top of the arc fronted by Belcourt, 35 seconds to play. The runner by Martin goes to the lane.
Another tough shot. Rob Belcourt does a pretty good job of turning Braswell 3 or 4 times.
Martin right in Belcourt's face, inbound Rosen, who tries to sink Austin Morgan, who fouls him in the backcourt with 31 and 9 tenths to the second left, Penn leading 63-58. Turned into
Sam Martin, by the way, taking the Eric Flato kind of Yale
question.
Yale, where he's kind of a little complaining and pushing and
histrionics.
He was just kind of clapping in Belcourt's face right there. So they always have one of them too. They always seem to have a 6'10 guy that can play and a smaller guy that kind of
Rosen gets that first free throw.
This is it badly.
One of those whiners right there. Rosen on the night. A point total of 15 for a 16th to make it a 6-point game. That one is good. Goes 1-for-2, 64-58, 31 and 9 tenths of a second left.
Yeah, Braswell hasn't had a whole lot of luck from three tonight. Down 6. They may go to for 2.
Mangano top yard. Shot clock turned off. 21
by
Eggleston to play.
Great job by Eggleston.
Martin near left corner. Can't hit the three. Rebound secured by Bernardini. Bernardini trying to rid himself of Braswell. Dribbling through traffic and finally fouled.
Sounds like 6 times
by Greg Mangano.
Gets the foul call, but I couldn't see who Tyler Bernardini went up over to get that rebound, but he went up in traffic, and that was a man's rebound right there. He just took that from one of the Yale players.
A solid size player on hand here at the Plesser, and about three quarters of the building standing with 11 and
took it from number four. Who's number four? Porter Braswell. You know what? It's a point guard. No man's rebound from a point guard. So I'm going to change my prior statement.
11 7 tenths of a second left, 10 by 6. Now make it 7 as Tyler Bernardini drops in his first free throw. Bernardini now with 9 points could reach double figures for a 6th straight game with this one here, and he gets the roll to rattle in. 66-58, 11 7 tenths left. The Penn Quakers poised to start the conference schedule in victorious fashion. Martin near left corner, steps his feet, and guess what, he misses again. Rebound Eggleston, and that'll do it. Jack Eggleston, with a determined look on his face, a determined effort by he of the Quakers tonight. The horns down, signifying 10, starting the 2011 Ivy League schedule with a win. 66-58, the Quakers defeat the Yale Bulldogs. 10, its second consecutive victory, improving to 7-8, exceeding last year's overall victory total. 10 for the sixth time in seven seasons, starting off 8-8 action, Vinman 1-0.
Got a little uglier than it had to be, Selfie. A couple mistakes by the Quakers down the stretch against that pressure. But they made their free throws for the most part. They handled the press. They maintained their poise, and when Yale really tried to get after it and get kind of in their face a little bit, then just kind of hung in there, did what they needed to do, and they got a very good win.
Then man, the Penn Quakers in the midst of a stretch of five straight games being played at the Palestra. Won the first game in that run on Saturday night versus St. Joseph's. In the Ivy League portion of their schedule with a 66-58 triumph. Hard fought.
Going to have to take care of the court in the Ivy League. It's just going to be one of the NFB committed and looking at going 7-0 at home. And then, you know, you're going to take the road weekends as they come. But home court going to be very important in this year's Ivy League.
Red and blue streamers fly out of the red and blue crew student cheering section behind the western baseline here at the Palestra, celebrating the Penn Quakers Ivy League season opening 66-58 win versus the Yale Bulldogs. Yale has a season-long four-game winning streak snap tonight at the hands of the Penn Quakers. Yale dropping to 9-8 overall this season. 2-1, the first league loss for the EOIs. The Penn Quakers, 1-0, tied for first now in the Ivy League, defeating Yale by 8.66-258. Rick Bluey Wine, post-game show, proceeding next. 10. Knocks off Yale. Ivy League game number one, 66-58. From Nellian Sports, 10 Men Basketball, and 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
There's always a moment of truth where it's either put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
DSC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen, if I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Oh, excuse me, I am the window, and I have created the most wonderful draft. It blows money right out of the wallet.
Your windows may be wasting energy. Take the Pico Smart Home e-audit and find ways to save money around your house. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. Learn more at pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit fithowyouwant.com and explore Generation by Knoll, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knoll, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still, visit fithowyouwant.com today.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
Well, a very auspicious start to Ivy League play for the Penn Quakers. Getting past the Yale Bulldogs 66-58 opening night. And 8-8 action for the Red and Blue. Penn has won two in a row, second winning streak of the season for the Penn Quakers on the heels of the season-long four-game slump. Penn now 7-8 on the year. One of the most important in man, the Ivy League, Yale dropping to 9-8, 2-1 conference.
I just have a funny feeling about this Yale team. I think they're going to go up and play Princeton tough tomorrow night. Right?
I hear you.
If they play them the way they played in the second half tonight, and I think they're going to be in there swinging.
This is so up and down, and they had all the reason in the world to come out tonight, confident, energized. They found themselves 13 in the hole.
I don't get it. It really surprised me. I mean, it's not like it's not like they traveled day of the game or anything like that. They came down last night and stayed in the hotel and come to shoot around. You know, it's just a normal road game, and they played okay on the road. So it's just surprising to me that Yale came out like that. And Penn, fortunately, able to make their free throws. Major stat of the game, I'd say, or second half for sure. Yale 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Penn 18-for-21.
That's an amazing stat.
Some of it, you know, 6 or 8 of them are probably at the end of the game where Yale's fouling. But at the same time, Penn was really struggling from the floor there. And they got to the line 3 or 4 times to really stem the tide. So Coach Allen's got a little work to do, figure out kind of how to keep things going, keep the momentum going, because they struggled a little bit for a 5-minute stretch there. But at the end, they did what they needed to do, 1-0 in the league. You'll certainly take that.
And it's also nice to see Penn with a performance that backs up a notion that people, as fans in college, the team might have been supposing that it was a really tough non-conference schedule. Your last 4 games at Kentucky, at LaSalle, at Temple, and then what's officially a road game versus St. Joseph's. Pretty big 5 games here at the Western. How would it translate once Ivy League play got underway? It got off to a good start tonight. Penn with an 8-point win, 66-58. Over the Yale Bulldogs, 7 wins, exceeding the total from all of last year when Penn went 6-22. Time now to give one final look at the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town H&H scoreboard. Going to give you some final tallies from around the league tonight.
I'm waiting for a faded breath.
Games, let's find out how the league went this evening. Harvard remains atop the conference standings, really the true first-place team in the league, now 3-0. By defeating Columbia at Lavides Pavilion, 77-66. Columbia now 2-1 in the Ivy League standings.
Yeah, little doubt that Harvard was going to come back and win that game. I think they're just a different class of team than Columbia.
Dartmouth hangs on against Cornell in Hanover, 64-57, a game in which the Big Green Vents were up big time by 7.
You could not have paid me $1 million to go to that game tonight. That just sounds like a horrible game to watch.
Paid me $1 million.
Okay, fair enough.
So Dartmouth gets its first league win of the season, now 1-2. And the Cornell Big Red in the basement, the three-time defending champions, 0-3.
Brian Whitman didn't play tonight?
Did. Actually, it wasn't available.
Game-time decision?
And I thought the Brown Bears were going to come out and play well at Princeton. I was wrong. 78-60, smacked around at Princeton. Princeton now 1-0 in the league. Brown also, like Cornell, 0-3 in the conference.
The way things are supposed to be, or Penn and Princeton are supposed to be at the top of this league.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that Princeton took care of business tonight against Brown. I think they're going to have their hands full with Yale tomorrow night, and hopefully Penn comes out and gives a pillar-to-post type effort.
I like that, pillar-to-post.
Yeah. Like that one? So, and then, you know, it's going to come down. I still think Yale's a team that can win the league. There are, in my mind, 4 teams that it could come down to.
So the Quakers, in terms of winning percentage, 1-0, same with Princeton.
1,000,000% right now.
That's right.
1,000,000,000% right now.
The Harvard Crimson 3-0, so the Crimson, the true first-place team in the Ivy League, but tied in the loss column with Zilch, along with the Quakes and the Tickies.
Quakes still control their own destiny.
Absolutely, with 13 games to go. So once again, Harvard defeats Columbia by 11 points. Harvard, in a battle of first-place teams, takes that one. 3-0, the record for the Crimson in the league. Columbia drops to 2-1 in the H&8. The Dartmouth Big Green, first H&8 win of the season. Now 1 and 2 by taking care of Cornell, 64-57, Cornell 0-3. Princeton 1-0 by defeating Brown 78-60. The Brown Bears are 0-3 in the league. Princeton 1-0 right here at Depot Lestra. The Penn Quakers, for the sixth time in seven seasons, open Ivy League play with a win, 66-58. Penn now 7-8 on the year. Two consecutive wins, the L Bulldogs at 9-8. More to come on the postgame show, Red and Blue Rewind. We go through our postgame honors and awards after this. For the Elegant Sports, Penn Men Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers! United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliate. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
This is the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchants, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004, when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field, or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
Goodbye. In the Palestra tonight, the Penn Quakers defeat the Yale Bulldogs 66-58. To get Ivy League play going, win the dub. And now 1-0 in the league. Penn 7-8 overall. Yale four-game winning streak halted by the Quakers tonight. Put the brakes on that.
That's putting the brakes on that, Selke. Very good. You do it in lockstep with me today.
Tampa,
yin and yang.
9-8. Bulldogs record 2-1 in the league. And you know, Vince, it was a game the Quakers led by as many as 18. Yale drew within four.
Yeah, that sound I just made could have been the wheels coming off the truck as the Quakes were going down in the second half. They really, Yale, to their credit, came storming back. And Penn, stagnant offensively, kind of went through a bad stretch there, but really got it done from the free throw line, and that was the difference.
The good man, it is now a very anticipated juncture of our broadcast.
Yes, Brian.
The point where you go out and distribute our post-game awards and recognition.
All right, what do you got first? What do you got?
We will begin, Vince, with the United Healthcare shot of the game.
The United Healthcare. See, I would have gone with the play of the game first, but okay, we're going to go with the United Healthcare shot of the game. As Yale was kind of coming back, and Penn had helped keep them at bay, and it kept kind of going back and forth of, are they going to get there? Are they not going to get there? Miles Cartwright hit a three in the far corner across from Penn's bench on a play by Rob Belfour, where he takes the ball baseline, keeps his dribble alive. I think everybody thought he was going to pick it up. He whip passes it to Cartwright in the corner and bangs down. Who bangs down a big three?
Miles Cartwright and the Quakes playing with some attitude tonight here at the Palestra. Miles Cartwright with just the shot of the game. Shot clock at 17 for Penn. 3 minutes to go in the second. Belcourt gliding along the near right baseline. Kick out Cartwright. Far left. He carries a big three from the corner. 57-47 with 2:52 left. Penn back in front by double digits. Shot of the game. Miles Cartwright.
Yes, it was.
Brought to you by United Healthcare. United Healthcare, helping people lead healthier lives. Proud partner of Penn Athletics. That brings us to the peak of the play of the game. presented by Pico Energy, now more than ever with you every step of the way.
There were a couple out there that I thought about, but one that was really representative of what Zach Rosen did tonight, at about the 8-minute mark in the second half, he drives into the L defense, keeps his dribble alive, is really on the baseline, kind of underneath the basket, and drops it back for Connor Turley, who catches a tough pass and goes up with great extension and finishes over, I think it was Mangano, but Rosen did that a couple of times tonight, where he gets all the way to the baseline, and where you're thinking he's going to shoot, he looks to create and finds opportunities for his teammates. So, play of the game, Zach Rosen to Connor Turley to make it 46-40.
Brought to you by Pico, now more than ever with you every step of the way. This one putting Penn on its way to a win tonight in the Ivy League opener for the Queens. Rosen trailing behind, Turley tacks on at two on the near right low post. The penetration then created by Rosen. Quakers back up by 6-7:51 to go in the second.
You care to rehash what your analysis was following that play? Because we know the post-game show is Brian Seltzer's tribute to Brian Seltzer. I mean, it's nice enough that you let me name the awards. Otherwise, I could pretty much go home at the end of the game.
I try to give you the shake you deserve, man. That's the Pico play of the game, brought to you by Pico Energy. Now more than ever with you every step of the way. Newman, you are earning your keep tonight because the Smokey Joe's player of the game. It's tough that there was a very well-balanced effort by the Quakers. Four players and double figures. The starters in that really helped him set the tone, but good relief work as well.
This one, not easy. 18 points for Miles Cartwright, a couple rebounds, three assists, a couple of steals. I thought defensively he was very good. He was the quickest player on the floor. He was kind of just upping everybody's stuff a little bit. Jack Eggleston, 13 points, four rebounds, a couple of assists, block and a steal. I thought he was pretty good tonight. Zach Rosen, 16 points, five assists. He did have a rebound, Celtics, so he out-rebounded you by one tonight. Those three guys you look at, then Tyler Bernardini going 8-for-8 from the free throw line to finish with 10 points. Every one of those free throws is big. So now, all right, you get those four guys. Then you got a guy like Fran Doherty, comes off the bench in the second half, gets five rebounds, gets a bucket, defends the way he's supposed to defend in the team concept, challenges Mangano a couple of times, and really limits his effectiveness for a 3 or 4 minute stretch while Penn opened up that reestablished their hold on the game. So I know you're thinking I'm going off the reservation right here, Celtic, with Fran Doherty.
Steer me there, man.
But you're incorrect. I'm going with Miles Cartwright. I think Miles Cartwright really got it done. Did you have Miles Cartwright in the player of the game, Paul?
In what?
Well, there's no gambling. We're just picking. It's not like we're doing anything wrong. We're just saying, hey, who do you think the player of the game's going to be?
That is a very solid pick by you there, Howard. The Smokey Joe's player of the game is presented by the one and only Smokey Joe.
Are you finally on the board? Is this your first winner?
No. You might even check the standings.
Oh, you just took the lead? This is four for you?
Might have been.
Smokey
Joe's been, man.
I've known that. I've still seen that.
Smokey Joe's it is, the
institution.
It's a tradition before and after games since 1933. Smokey Joe's a proud partner of Penn Athletics.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Where is Smokey Joe's?
Due west on Walnut, hang a left. It's on 240th. You'll find it before you reach Locust on the right-hand side.
You know what, Brian?
Everyone knows.
Everyone listening to this broadcast knows exactly where Smokey Joe's is.
Well, know this as well. The next broadcast of Penn Men's Basketball will come your way tomorrow night, back-to-back on these Ivy League weekends, the first of the year for the Penn Quakers, hosting the Brown Bears, 7 o'clock tip-off pregame show on their way at 6:45 right here on 950 ESPN. So once again, tip-off at 7, pregame beginning at 6:45 tomorrow night. The Penn Quakers now at 7-8, 1-0 in the Ivy League, battling the Brown Bears. Brown at 7-9, 0-3 in the league. Looking forward to speaking with you very much at that point in time. The preceding copyrighted broadcast has been authorized and the rights granted by the University of Pennsylvania's Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics Department to Nelligan Sports Marketing. It is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of this particular audience, and we do very much appreciate your listening and lending us your ears on this Friday, January the 28th. The accounts and descriptions of this broadcast may not be retransmitted in any form without the expressed written consent of Nelligan Sports Marketing, The executive producer of the Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Mike Felici. Coordinating producer, Nicole Schwartz. For our studio coordinator, the great Betsy Deming.
The greatest.
The greatest. Absolutely.
It's on my request.
Absolutely. For Betsy Deming and my partner on site, he is the Vin Man, Vince Carn. I'm Brian Seltzer from the Palestra. The Penn Quakers opened their 2011 Ivy League championship bid with a win. Knocking off the Yale Bulldogs 66-58. Have a great rest of your Friday night and a pleasant start to your Saturday from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2010-2011 Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Marketing has been presented by Chili's. Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper and some fun. Coca-Cola, Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn, look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, Kindred Hospitals, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. PICO, we put our energy into you. For extended coverage of the preceding game, including a complete recap, video interviews, and final stats, log on to PennAthletics.com. This is the Penn Sports Network on 950 AM ESPN Philadelphia, a Nelligan Sports production.
And that ends our coverage of Penn's men's basketball. We now join Dan Schwartzman, already in progress. You're listening to 950 ESPN. 950
ESPN. 950
ESPN. WPEN Philadelphia.
You know, come on, really? Because, yeah, there's other talent out there, like, you know, like Sam Coates, Ovechkin, and you're right, they are actually